Blog Talk
Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the May 21st, 2010, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy. Let's bump ugly Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the suitor of your world that is propositioning you to have deep, dark, dirty exchanges of your world, of your views, as well as mine. And I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight for the latest installment of Your World, My View. And in the last show, we talked about the idea of conquering debt and how conquer debt. And I must say that I got a lot of fan mail from a lot of you guys. I'd like to thank you so much for saying that you enjoyed the show, that you enjoyed the guest speaker. And a lot of you I see went out and purchased the book. And I would like to bring in my esteemed, my fabulous co-host, Ms. Renee Bishop. Renee, what's happening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantabulous. And I was just starting to talk about the idea of the show that we did. And we did the show about conquering debt. And what were your thoughts of that show?
Well, I thought the show went well. I also got some positive feedback, and I just hope that people were able to benefit not only from what the guest provided, but also some of the information that was shared before she came on.
Mm-hmm. And the guest speaker was Miss Marcia Wilwarding, and she spoke to us for about an hour, mostly in the after show.
Right.
And the conversation was fantastic. She talked about her book. And her book was Eliminating Debt on a Single Income. And the funny thing is when I reached out to her and we spoke about her book, which is a great read, by the way, and a lot of people apparently thought so because a lot of people bought the book.
Right.
We'll get on to that in a minute. But a lot of people bought the book. But the funny thing is, you know, on my page I do a thing called Want to Know how Different Blacks and Whites See the World.
Yes.
Well, when I started and I saw her book and I was talking about her book and I thought, let me read this book. My first thoughts of getting rid of debt on a single income was single parent. I was thinking that it was one person living in a house trying to take the money that they pay bills with and everything, as well as paying the debt. And then I read it, and she was talking about, well, no, I'm a stay-at-home mom, player. You got it all wrong.
Right. She homeschools her children. Well, she did homeschool her
children. And isn't that funny how we see life different even in small terms like that? When we hear the word single income, we're typically thinking we're always single anyway.
Oh, yeah.
No one's thinking the idea of I'm married, but I'm sitting at home schooling my kids. Not black people.
Well, not a large majority, certainly. Yeah.
No, because
right.
Honestly, nobody thought that. Oh, yeah. That's right. Come on. But yeah, that was the big thing to me that I looked at it and I thought, and more people spoke about that when I got emails, that, you know, that is not the angle they thought it was going to be coming from. They thought it was going to be, you know, a woman with a book who was talking about how to, you know, get rid of your debt if you're a single woman, a single man, or just basically living in a house by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these responsibilities, but you're trying to eliminate this debt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll ask you, because, you know, you've never actually had a problem with race and stuff, so maybe you thought like them. What were you thinking when you thought of the book or when you heard of the title of the book?
I didn't think one way or another. I just thought of one income. My mind didn't get as deep into it being a family of multiple people or a family of just the one single person.
It doesn't matter. It's just one income. You're
of
right.
Course.
But I'm saying I thought about it. After I heard it, I thought, I wasn't thinking that.
Right. Well, her life, you know, the lifestyle that they live, I have friends who also homeschool. Most of my close girlfriends homeschool. So they do live off of one income, which is the husband. So, you know, a lot of what she said I certainly identified with as far as it was not foreign or it was something that I've heard. But I think that is, like you illustrated, that is one of the differences with our community and other surrounding communities. And it's probably, it's just because of the ratio of single people or single parents or whatever the case may be. It's definitely... the scale is not balanced.
Yeah, and that's funny. No, not funny. Ha ha. But
right.
It's funny that our thought process on certain things like that is just really not what
skewed.
What the rest of the world thinks. That you have so many people thinking, oh, I can get married and I'll stay at home and homeschool these kids, or he works and I take care of the home.
Right.
These are great thoughts, but we never get a chance to see anything like that really come to fruition. I don't remember too many. Now, back in the old days, but that was when women weren't allowed to work.
Right.
But even then, the bad part about that was white women couldn't work, but black women could go somewhere and clean somebody's house. That was not considered
white.
A job. Yeah, they would go to a white person's house and clean their house. So black women have always been workers, earners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the funny thing about having white women at home was they didn't have to go to work outside the house or inside the house.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. I mean, so I can understand why they were okay with their man cheating. Look at all the perks they had.
Oh gosh.
Okay, you don't think that's a perk?
I mean, somehow in a conversation with you, the car gets skewed either in the direction of sex or cheating, which are darn near synonymous in the way that you pretty much talk about cheating.
You're damn right.
Ugh.
You got to understand, I know who I am. So
yes,
I know that if a woman's going to be with me, she got to understand that, you know, your boy going to cheat a little bit.
I know.
I don't understand, again, that women, that's why I don't understand y'all. That's why I know a lot of these brothers are going to each other. I see why.
Oh.
Because y'all are hard to understand. Like, y'all claim y'all want honesty, but as soon as a man get honest, y'all get offended. I'm like, how'd you get offended?
Right. I mean, I'm listening. I mean, I am familiar with you, certainly, so I'm not offended because I know you well enough. So
I had a girl tell me, I don't know if I had a girl tell me once, say, I don't know if you like me or if you like my breath. I'm like, I don't know you. I just know you got big breasts. What do you think?
There you go. There's the answer.
It's a stupid question.
Oh.
The person doesn't know you at all. A man would never say, I don't know if you like me or if you like that I'm Allen Iverson. You slept with me on the first night. You like that I'm Allen Iverson. You don't know nothing
right.
else about me.
Right. Well, to veer back in the direction in which we came from. I mean, if you call it a perk that I don't have to clean up my house, you know, or whatever, then
it is a perk, I'm sorry.
Let it be what it is. You know.
You can say what you want. That's a perk. Right, that's a damn perk. Quit lying, acting like that's not a perk. If a bitch told me you can live in the house with me and you ain't got to pay no bills, I ain't going to act like that's not a perk.
I mean, but if my trade-off is that my man...
I'm just saying. I just said it's a perk. We're not talking about the trade-off.
Oh,
we're not
okay.
talking about the trade-off to start. We're talking about is it a
okay.
perk.
Well, okay, then yeah.
That's like saying $90,000 a year ain't a perk. Oh, it is. Yeah, but you got to suck my dick to get it. Well, I don't know if I want to go that far to get the money.
Okay.
But it is a perk.
Long as we're on the same page there, we're all right.
Yeah, you know, perk has nothing to do with what you got to do to get the perk. They're two different things.
Right.
But, you know, and make sure you guys start getting on onto Your World, My Views fan page. So I'm trying to get y'all off my page. I'm trying to get everybody off my page. You're killing me. You're on my page, and I can't even talk to my family members because I got so much mess going on. I'd be embarrassed. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor, and we are here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock. So join us as we talk about issues that go on in your world, as you get the slant of my views. And, well, Renee, other than,
yeah,
you know, my messed up take on it, what do you think about the show? What, you know what, I'm not even going to ask you like that. I'm going to ask Juliana. Juliana, what's going on?
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, girl, what's up? I wanted to ask you, the last show we did called a show called Conquering Debt. Now, is that something that you think you could benefit from, a show like that, talk about conquering debt, or do you have, like, 850 credit score?
No, that's a good show to benefit from. I liked it when I listened to it.
Oh, you listen. Good girl. Okay. One of the things that we really enjoyed what Marsha brought was the fact that she put bringing your debt down in perspective. She didn't talk about, you know, in 6 months you can have all your debt paid off. She talked about the fact that it took her 7 years. And most people see a plan like that. We equated it to the idea of what you do, which is train people and get them in the mindset of, if you're 400 pounds, you're not going to look like you in 6 months. And a lot of people have a hard time seeing that, and so they give up. And then next thing you know, they weigh 450 pounds. And next thing you know, they weigh 500 pounds, because it's very daunting to say, the person who's training me is 130. I'm 400 pounds. And to get this, it's going to take a lot of hard work just to see 15 pounds drop off, just to see 20 pounds drop off. And she was talking about how to overcome that in the world of finance. How do you overcome that in the world of personal training?
In the world of personal training, that's a great question. And it's also a great conversation to have with my new clients, because it's definitely something that you have to bring into reality with them, because a lot of times people do think, oh, I'm going to get a trainer, I'm going to lose weight, and they don't fit that in the reality world of, it's going to take time, you have to be consistent, you have to follow an effective exercise routine, and the most important thing is you have to set realistic goals. Realistically, I'm not going to sit there and lie to somebody and say, okay, we're going to get you to lose 40 pounds this month. That's crap, and I'm stealing your money if that's what I'm going to tell you, and I don't believe in that. When someone says, well, this is what, how many pounds I want to lose in this amount of time, if it's realistic, I'll say, okay, well, let's set the plan together and we'll do it. If it's not realistic, then I tell them, no, it's not possible. And if they don't like it, you know, if they don't like it, that's fine. But I'm not going to lie to you about what we can and cannot do, you know. So, so again, and that was the same thing with the finance set. You definitely have to, it has to be a reality to everybody that you're not going to get rid of it just in a snap. And it's not going to happen that fast, especially when you got there, you know how much debt you're in, and you know it's going to take you a while to get out of it. It's easy to spend $10,000, but it's not easy to pay off.
So, and that's funny that you said that. It's like the same thing happens with your debt. It took years to get it. You're not going to get rid of it in 6 months. The same thing happened with your weight. It took years to get it.
That's right.
So it's funny to me that the mindset and overcoming, and I know I had this problem when I was training, and I wanted to do you have it? Does it piss you off when you're training someone that went to another trainer, and that trainer sold them the pie in the sky just to get the client, and now you're having to erase their memory of that bad trainer?
Yes, as far as habits, nutrition, and even the way they showed them how to work weights or to do a machine.
And it's almost like you're trying to retrain someone that already comes into it is skeptical of you because they think the whole industry is that way. I had one woman equate trainers to lawyers, ambulance chasers. I was like, really? Who was training you? All they do is lie and sell you dreams or whatever. But, Juliana, what do you want to talk to the people about today? If the people don't know, this is Miss Juliana Garcia, and this is the lady who comes to us once every Friday at 8:10, and she talks to us about something that can help you live a healthier life and to sculpt your body the way that you'd like it. What do you want to talk to us about today?
Well, today we are going to talk about whole grain versus white flour processed foods, because I know noticed you've brought it up a couple of times, so I wanted to focus a bit on the differences between the whole grain food, like the pasta and the bread and the rice, versus just the white bread, the white rice.
All right. Well, we got to give you the proper introduction. This is Health and Body Sculpting with Miss Juliana Garcia. I just like doing that. That just makes my night. All right, you're right. Talking about the process, I wanted to know about it. I've asked about it a lot because I like white bread. So what can you tell me about how I'm basically messing up my life by eating this white bread?
Well, Thomas, you're not messing up your life. But at the same time, there are alternatives and healthier choices. You know, I decided to start really looking into, you know, the quality of bread and, you know, what it means to us. I mean, I grew up on white bread, sandwiches, eating it with my meat and potatoes, topping up the sauce with it. And I, you know, I enjoy white bread. And then when I went, you know, as I got older and then I started reverting to the whole grain, the healthier bread, it wasn't as tasty to me, and I'll admit that. But as time went on and I continue to eat it and start adding it, you know, you get used to certain things, and it does acquire taste sometimes. But when I try to eat white bread, I don't like it. I can tell
really?
It's processed, and I can tell it's refined. Did you know that there are approximately 60 approved chemicals used in the making of flour and bread? 60.
Wow, I had no idea that.
60 additives. And 8 or more are commonplace, like fresh flour is less than Snow White and has a strong odor. So, I mean, it's amazing. We don't really look into the fine details of how something is made or what is put into it. And then you look at the whole grains, and everybody, you know, in the nutritional world, we talk about how you should be having anywhere between 25 and 30 grams of fiber. It's going to make you regular. It's going to be healthy for you. It's going to, you know, that's the bottom line. It's healthy. Why? Why should I eat whole grains? Because it's good for you. Eat it. You know? It's like when our parents try to feed us vegetables. Why are you making me eat it? It doesn't taste good. Because it's good for you and for good reason. I mean, it's all about just trying to be healthy. But back to the white bread, although, you know, we're not absolutely sure about everything that goes into it, there's a lot of different chemicals that are in it. So, I mean, wouldn't you rather eat something that was more natural and whole grain and good for you than processed chemicals?
No, because it tastes better.
That's
always your
time.
Hurdle. No, you're right. You are 100% right. There are a lot of healthy things that I like better than, as you said. How long did it take to get to that point where you liked whole grains over white bread? I mean, well, let me ask. Did you ever get to a point where you liked the flour? Because I came from a tortilla-eating background, and, I mean, we would always eat processed stuff.
Right, which was the easiest thing to do, and it was also less expensive, especially when you're, you know, when your family's on a budget and you're living off of the cheaper end of the spectrum of food. I know my mom, single mom of 4 kids, she was always doing that, you know, and of course she wasn't conscious of, you know, what she was feeding us back then. Plus, you know, we were skinny. People thought we were malnourished, but because we were just so active. But to answer your question, it took me a while, and I didn't eat it every day, and I don't eat bread every day, but when I do have bread, I try to have a you know, the whole grain, especially, and that also falls into the tortilla realm. I mean, my grandmother would kill me if she heard me saying I eat multi-grain tortilla. It's all about the glycemic index with me, and it's all about just living healthy and, you know, making sure my blood sugar levels are neutral and they're not spiked all the time. I mean, that's another way that you crave things is when your sugar, you spike your blood sugar levels and you start craving carbohydrates. And that's what your body wants. It's what it needs. So you want to try and maintain that. And going back to the whole grain, multi-grain, tortilla, bread, pasta, it is going to be better for you. And the white pasta stuff, obviously, they're having 60, and these are approved chemicals. It's not just like they're just throwing 60 chemicals in there. They're approved. And, you know, a lot of times they're made in these big conventional ovens, you know, with chlorine dioxide in them. And, I mean, it can get pretty bad, but that's what the food industry does. It makes for the masses, you know, and it's getting it out there. I know I used to drive by Sunbeam Bread Factory. It's over here in Houston. And every morning I used to live out in that area, walk out my front door. Man, it smelled so good. But knowing what's in there kept me. I was like, oh, I know what's in there. I know how they're baking that. So, but it still smelled really good.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love the way the bread shops, the way they smell. Walking past them, it's like it smells like it's got to taste great. I should go in there and get some of it.
I agree. And they had a little storefront, too. It was kind of hard not to go by and see what was fresh that day.
Right.
So, but then also we had talked about the brown rice as well and versus the white rice. And, you know, basically what happens is it starts off as the whole wheat. I mean, you get white rice from whole wheat. And if you look at the spectrum, you start with a high starch, which is going to basically be on the highest part of the glycemic index. Is going to be your short grain white rice. You find that in sushi. You find that in the Chinese restaurants, the short grain white rice. I mean, a lot of restaurants use it, just the white rice. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum, which is lower on the glycemic index, healthier, and still has the whole grain. That's going to be your basmati, long grain, brown rice, basically. So if you want to know which one's better, the darker the grain, the better it is for you. Like wild rice is good, but it also has a different consistency. It's a lot chewier and meatier. I like to say it's meatier. But, you know, these whole grains have a lot of antioxidants in them, and they're good for you, phytochemicals, and they'll help reduce the risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes. Like, you know, just like fruits and vegetables are good for you too. So if it grows out of the ground, I say go for it. If it's processed and put in a can, it can't be that good for you. So, whenever I
that's very good to say. I mean, just that idea of something simple like that. Look, if it's natural, it's probably good for you. If it's not, it's not.
Right, and you want to try, you know, and I know people are like, well, what's whole grain? Like, you can even get cereals that are whole grain. Products like Total, Product 19, Special K, Corn Flakes, Shredded Wheat, these are all things that are whole grain and good for you. And Kellogg's is real good about putting that on the box with 9 whole grains and, you know, good about putting the nutrition facts on the side. So the challenge to the listeners this week is going to be to start reading your labels and start seeing how much fiber is in there, low sugar. If it's in the double digits in the sugar, if it's got 10 or more grams of sugar, that's a bit much. Actually, more than 8 to 9 grams of sugar is too much. But then you go to your fiber. Remember, we want to get anywhere from 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day as your daily intake. You know, you want to try and get fiber that 4 grams, 6 grams. And you'll find that in a serving of cereal, serving of whole grain rice, whole grain bread. So you want to really look for stuff like that, because a lot of people don't know what to look for. So the challenge is read the label, start going to the more whole grainy stuff, start learning how to cook it, start building recipes that are going to be healthier for you, and start reducing your portion sizes. And that's what you want to start doing as far as your nutrition goes this week.
Okay, good deal.
So,
you know, I'm listening.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So then I guess my next challenge would be give up the white bread, give up the regular pasta, and give up the white rice and see how that goes. And I know, and I, you know what? I want our listeners who are fans of Feisty Fitness, fans of your show, I want you to put on Facebook, oh, I hated this. It was disgusting. I can't believe you had me eating this. Or you can put, hey, it wasn't so bad. I think I'm going to give it a chance. You know, maybe we'll put a poll up and see what, you know, what the listeners like and what they don't like. And I can put up a recipe that, you know, can help them like it a little more, because there's different things you can do to make it taste better as well. So.
Give them some ideas. I wanted you, one of the things I wanted you to do is start throwing them out some recipes, throwing them out some things that once we give them an idea of how to shape something and how to live a healthier life, give them something to throw them something that may be good for them, because they're thinking right now, you know, I don't believe that. A recipe or something that you put together, throw together real quick, that they can try and then come back and tell you, or come back and ask you, hey, what's that recipe again?
Okay, I love to make, it's called a taco bowl, okay, minus the tortilla. but you can definitely use whole grain tortillas if you want to. But the taco bowl, basically for me, you can get, and I won't even give you my super clean recipe. I'll give you something that might be tastier. Get some lean ground sirloin beef, brown it up, you know, throw some tomatoes and onions. You can even do the shortcut and get Rotel, which has the tomatoes, onions, and green chilies in there. Cook it up and put your own spices in there. And then I take a can of black beans, or you can make your own. I like to make a pot of black beans. I haven't done that in a while because I can be lazy and I want to eat fast. So you can do black beans, ground sirloin, Rotel, or tomatoes and onions, and then get some brown rice. Make it, you know, make it in a pot. That takes 30 to 45 minutes. You know, you're probably going to be sitting on the couch watching TV, so make some time to make that. And I basically do a cup of the cooked rice. I do 6 ounces of the meat. And then I take pico de gallo, and you can even make some, put avocado slices in there and your own salsa. And I call that my taco bowl. It's healthy. It's low fat. It doesn't have a lot of carbs in it, especially if you measure out the rice.
Okay, okay, okay. And that does sound actually very, very good. I want you to put that up on the fan page when you get a chance as well. So what else do you want to tell us about while we're here? What else do you want to let them know?
I know I always talk about, you know, nutrition and what's good for you, but I'm going to touch a little real quick today on your exercise tips. Go ahead, for those that are working out, change up their workout a little bit and start supersetting. I don't know if I've ever used that term, but supersetting basically is doing 2 exercises back-to-back. So let's say you're doing back and chest. You're working out, you know, the back and the front, opposing muscle groups. I'd say go and, you know, pick an exercise for your back and then immediately go and pick an exercise for your chest. Do those back-to-back. Only rest for about 30 seconds and then start again. And just challenge everyone to pick five exercises per muscle group. So you can be doing about 10 exercises. Because a lot of times people go in and they'll do 1 exercise for this muscle group, 1 shoulder press, 1 bicep curl, a leg press, and then some flies. Oh, man, I had a good workout. Call it a day. I really want our listeners to focus more on separating their muscle groups. So Monday, do back and chest. Tuesday, do legs. Skip a day. Thursday, do arms and shoulders. And then Friday, go back to back and chest. So just trying to give them some different ideas to change up their workout, just to be more consistent and, you know, maybe see some more changes in their body as they do this. And just to remind them to change their workout every 3 to 4 weeks, because that's important too, because your body's going to get acclimated to a particular set of exercises and change up the weight.
Exactly, exactly. All right. Well, this is a good day. I want to make sure that the people, again, know where to reach Ms. Juliana Garcia, where to see her, and if you want to find out more information about what she does here on the show or what she does outside from Houston, Texas, you'll be able to contact her at fitness at yourworldmyviews.com. And also, where, Juliana?
Juliana at feistyfitness.com. And you can become a fan of Feisty Fitness on Facebook as well.
Okay, good deal. And let me tell you something, Juliana, which you don't know, first off. This has been the Health Body Sculpting segment with Miss Juliana Garcia. And it was brought to you by the fabulous, the P90X, which this Monday coming, I myself, as well as Renee, we're going to be doing the P90X challenge. But we're going to be doing it, Juliana, so you'll be able to check out our progress.
Yay, I love it.
Yeah, you'll get to see how this goes. So we have to put up pictures of ourselves looking fat, and then hopefully in 90 days we'll be looking fine, or the sponsorship will be probably taken from us. We'll be so hopefully that's how that will go. But just to ask, and this is unscripted, so I hope this goes well. What do you think about P90X?
Thomas, I actually did the P90X last summer, and I did it straight for 90 days, and I actually liked it. It motivated me, and it made me feel stronger when I was done with it, and I saw my body change a little bit. So I like it.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I was hoping you weren't going to say, well, that's a bull, and then we had to somehow edit this out. So you would recommend it?
I would recommend it. I did enjoy it. I did like it. Just one word, consistency.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's easy to stop something like that, and that's the thing that scares me about at-home stuff, or that did scare me about at-home stuff, was the idea that it's very easy to stop. It's very easy to, I mean, you're doing it at home alone. You've already bought it. It's on a disc. It's just easy to just say, yeah, I won't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. And that's the scary part about it. But this is something that I looked at it yesterday, looked over a couple of them. It's a 12-disc set, and it looked very fun. It looked like the people were having fun. Of course, I mean, they wouldn't make it look like it was a slave camp, but they looked like they were having fun and enjoying themselves, and I'm really looking forward to starting it on this Monday. And, Renee, didn't you want to tell them something? Have you gotten it set up? Because last time I brought this up, it wasn't set. Okay, tell them about it.
For everyone who is interested in joining us in the challenge, you can log on to teambeachbody.com/YWMV, Your World, My Views. So it's teambeachbody.com/YWMV. And it's not just P90X that we have. We have some other programs as well, Insanity, for those of you who are interested. And you'll see the other ones as well. But feel free to join us, and you can buy the product as well as some of the other additional gear that you'll need on our website.
Uh-huh. Now, Juliana, we're going to do the show today, and the show today is about... Oh, she keeps missing her cue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to her.
I was talking to her, but you're still supposed to say something whenever. Oh, Lord. This is unscripted. Unscripted. The show today is about having a proper evaluation of yourself. Yeah. We're wanting to talk to people about this idea of it's good to have these high self-esteem and low self-esteem, but have you sat down and evaluated yourself truly on how you see yourself, how the world see yourself, how the world sees you, and then where you actually want to be. So those three factors. Have you ever done that, Juliana?
Yes, I have.
Oh, well, great. I don't know, again, before I go into this, do you have something you need to do within the next 5 minutes?
No.
We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to bring you back, because I want to hear from you how that worked out, what you did, and, you know, what you come up with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. This is Juliana. This is Thomas. That was Juliana, and that was Renee. And we'll be back in a second where we will be talking more about the news, more about getting yourself in shape, and the main topic of the night, which is?
Having a proper self-evaluation.
There you go. Your World, My Views. We will be right back.
The five-buck box, it rocks, it rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock, it rocks for a fox. It rocks blocking shots on guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks?
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
We are the cream for
a crunchy taco and cinnamon twist?
Both on the list, and wait, let me think, an ice cold drink. That is lots and lots in just one box. It is only $5, and that's why it rocks.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy Sotomayor here. And yo, World My Views would like to thank you guys for joining us these past few Mondays for our live broadcast. And we'd now like to inform you that we have moved, and starting this Monday and every Monday night, we'll be broadcasting live from the fabulous, the elegant Vino Libro, located downtown Atlanta off of Memorial Drive. That's right, the Vino Libro, the alternative neighborhood escape for the person who prefers comfort and relaxation over the crowded wine bars. That's right, your boy done upscaled, your boy done upgraded, T-Dog, baby! You can find me and the rest of the Yo World My Views cast down at the Vino Libro, which is located at 933 Garrett Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30316. You know what to do. Go to the info line and check it out. Come join us this Monday night and the rest of the Yo World My Views crowd, because we run this thing.
Check us out on the web at www.yourworldmyviews.com and check under the events tab to sign up for the cruise and more. Again, www.yourworldmyviews.com.
Hey, baby, is that you?
Yes, baby, I'm home.
Wait a minute. You just went to the beauty salon a few hours ago. But wow, you look great.
I know. I decided to try this place my friend told me about called Ladies of Elegance. You know, the home of the tree braids.
Yeah, I heard about them. But what are tree braids?
Well, tree braids are a unique, low-maintenance, yet elegant style technique that can be worn by women with natural or chemically altered hair. It can also promote hair growth and can last from up to 6 to 8 weeks. And the best part is that it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to do.
Wow, baby. You look fantastic. But I just got one question for you.
What's that, baby?
Can I pull it? Ladies of Elegance Salon, Spa, and Product Line are family-owned companies that take a personal commitment in helping women enhance themselves with simple elegance. So check them out on the web at www.ladiesofelegance.com. That's www.ladiesofelegance.com. And remember, Ladies of Elegance, helping you find a more beautiful you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Brett Michaels.
Oh, wow.
And I'm here with Juliana and oh my goodness, Sauvignon Wade.
Oh gosh.
What, you don't want to be her? I don't even know how to say her name. That is a crazy name.
Yeah.
Sauvignon, just a dumb name.
And you were going to call me her.
I'm just saying she got a crazy name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Juliana, we were talking before the break. I was asking you about this idea of the self-evaluation, and you said you did that, correct?
I did.
What'd you come up with?
Well, the first thing I did was ask myself if I was happy where I was in my professional life, and then I asked myself if I was happy in my personal life, wrote down, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly, and then...
What happened?
I don't know.
I think she got cut off.
She's still in queue.
I know, but I think she got cut off. I think her phone, she said, I wrote down the good and the bad and the ugly. And shit, that's what it was, man.
I was trying not to say anything.
Juliana was like, I think Juliana did that self-assessment, got depressed. Damn. This is fucked up, man. Juliana looked down at that paper and said, this is ridiculous. Juliana, are you okay? Get off the ledge.
No, I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, whatever I was saying was basically that I could be a better personal trainer. How could I do that? And it was to go back to school and get a nutrition degree, and so I can be a licensed nutritionist here. And I said, you know, and I enrolled in school, and I'm got one more year left, and then I decided, you know, to check other parts of my life and how I could improve them. So you have to do that every now and then because, you know, you should always be able to improve your craft, improve your personal life, improve your family life.
Now, how often do you do that? Because there's studies that show there's a certain amount of time that one should do a self-assessment, and then self-assessment should be up against something. So, one, how often do you do it? And two, what did you utilize to assess yourself against?
You know, I really don't remember. I guess the last time I did it was right before I became a personal trainer, which was about 6 years ago. But that wasn't really like where I sat down and wrote my goals and everything. I just decided to do that. But then I guess if I were to do it again, it'd have to be, I'd say, every 5 years just to see if I'm happy. And the thing that got me to do it basically was, you know, just where I wanted to be. It was really just the measurement of my happiness.
Now, what the studies have shown is that you should do it every 12 to 18 months.
Wow.
You know why you should do it so often? Well, actually, it doesn't seem like it's that often, but do you know why you should do it so often?
No, why?
Because once you set goals upon the first time you do a self-assessment, then in 12 to 18 months, what you're doing is checking up on your progress. So even though you know you haven't reached your goal, which is a five-year goal, in 18 months, you will realize that you are 20% closer to your goal. And if you're only 10% closer to your goal, then you got to find out what is the shortcoming. If you haven't changed or made these changes, you need to know them quick. Because if you think about it, if you wait 5 years to do a self-assessment, you've wasted 5 years. And generally, whatever goal you were trying to accomplish should have probably been accomplished in 5 years. If you're like, you know, I plan to graduate college in 5 years. You go back in 5 years and do a self-assessment, it's kind of the wrong time to do it.
That makes sense.
So that was one of the reasons why they say that you should do it that way. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get in the news, and hopefully you can stick around. If you got to go, I understand. We got to get in this news right quick because we're 20 minutes till here. And Renee?
Yes?
Didn't you have something that was going on in the news?
I do.
Well, what is it? Because you wanted to do it. This is an update. I mean, it was hot off the presses. Renee called me like 5 minutes ago, which is a lie because we've been on the show 40 minutes.
What in the world are you selling?
Yeah. It ain't about what actually happened. It's about how well we can sell what could have happened. Anyway.
It's an update based on the murder of the 7-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. Basically, I came across some information from a person who lives in Detroit, who I believe is an activist in Detroit, and she was sharing with us basically the myths and the some seemingly facts of the situation. What happened, and I don't know if you guys all remember how we got onto the story, how it originated, but basically what happened was there was a 17-year-old boy who went to the store with his 16-year-old girlfriend. I think he was standing outside and the girlfriend was inside the store. There was a 35-year-old man and somebody else, about an 18-year-old, who walked onto the scene, didn't like the way that the boy was looking at them, came back to the store, and ended up shooting him dead on the street.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. That's the main streets of Detroit for you. But the
story like 8 miles?
Is just...
I'm just wondering.
The story is only beginning there for the girl, the 7-year-old girl, because what happened was the killer of the 18-year-old, or 17-year-old rather, the police and the SWAT team ran up into the house of the 7-year-old girl at about 1 o'clock that morning, and they were supposedly thinking that the killer was being hidden in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to reports, there were about 11 to 13 people in that house. So it wasn't just the grandma, the 7-year-old, and the daddy. But there were a whole bunch of people in that house, and basically that's the reason why, or that's what we're told, the reason why they ran up into that house was because they thought that the killer was in there. To add a little bit more to the story, they are now looking at the father of the 7-year-old as a suspect, thinking that he may have had to do something with the death of that 17-year-old boy at the beginning of the story.
Wow.
That's your update.
So, Juliana, I don't know if you heard this story. Did you hear the story about the 4-year-old who was shot? The 7-year-old who was shot and killed by the police who were coming in, and they had a film crew with them as they were going to be on the first 48.
No, I did not hear about that.
Man, it's pretty sad. They came in and they ran into their own camera people, and somehow the gun discharged. This is what they're saying. The gun discharged and shot the little girl in the neck. She ended up dying in the hospital, and they were at the wrong house.
Wow.
Now, Renee,
Yes. Were
they technically could have been at the right house and just the person wasn't there? Is that what this story is saying now?
The verdict is still out on that. Unfortunately, the family of the little girl is not cooperating at all with the authorities. So there's still a lot of, truth to be unearthed because they're not cooperating.
Why do you think they're not cooperating?
Yeah, I was contemplating that. I was trying to figure out. I was thinking that they're probably not cooperating because they're angry.
Right.
They just know that the 7-year-old is dead. But, you know, the unfortunate thing, as I heard in the story, was that, you know, a lot of people talk about the police. They talk bad about the police, but those are the first people that we call when we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so what do you think about that?
Well, see, I look at it, and I was thinking the same thing you were thinking. They're so pissed off at the police that they don't really want to talk to them. They don't want to help them because they feel like, well, you've already screwed up one thing.
Yeah.
We don't want to help you go out and screw up something else or give you ammunition to do something and make you be able to walk out in the world and say, well, we were on to something. You know, it just so happened that we just came at the wrong time. Because that's all they're doing. They're going to try and solve this case, and if it has any connection to that house, they're going to use that as their excuse.
Yeah.
And right now they know they're about to get sued. They're going to lose the suit.
Yeah.
Because you can't win this one. You shot an innocent person, you killed an innocent person, and it wasn't in the middle of a firefight between the person you were coming to look for. You lost that one.
Right.
The question now is how much money will they lose? That's it. That's all you can look at is how much money will they lose?
Yeah.
And that's sad. Let me tell you something else is going on in the news that's kind of sad. A preacher gets life for storing his wife's body in a freezer.
A preacher? Yeah. Where is this?
An Alabama evangelist was sentenced to life plus 51 years. Remember we talked about that? When you give me life and then some more just in case my ass get resurrected. You come back with Jesus, they tell me, hold on, sir. Hold on. Hold on, sir. You got
it. When that happens, go ahead. I'm interested in this one.
He's in prison today after police say he terrorized his family and killed his wife before storing her body in a freezer. Now, the 39-year-old, oh, my God, his name is Anthony Hopkins. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yes.
Maybe it's just me. Juliana, do you know where I'm going with this?
I hope you're not, but I think so.
Anthony Hopkins was the guy who played Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, I
knew it. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, is it life imitating art or art imitating life? The chicken or the egg, you don't know. 39-year-old Anthony Hopkins, just like the dude named with Jesse James. There have been two Jesse James that did some ignorant stuff. Anthony Hopkins, either he going to win an Academy Award or he going to eat you like some fava beans and some Chianti. And the 39-year-old Anthony Hopkins was found guilty of murder of his wife, Aretha Hopkins, as well as rape and sodomy of his stepdaughter.
Oh.
If you look at him, he look a little crazy. He looked like he would do something like that. But then I guess when you're in court, you never look like you just would treat a woman right. Especially when you're in I've never really seen a person other than Ted Bundy. Now, Ted Bundy was on trial for killing them folks, and them women were going crazy over him.
Really?
The Hopkins, yes, you don't remember that? Oh, well, it wasn't like you were born then. I'm just saying you had to look it up. Yeah, Ted Bundy was like a pimp. Like, he was handsome beforehand. Like a handsome regular cat. So nobody believed he would be doing that. He'd be going across the countryside raping and killing women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hopkins was an evangelist, and that taught his wife and children the wrong facts about the Bible, basically.
I was about to say.
And it helped him get away with the crime, though. Think about it, which is what most time happens with religious people, and if you're raised in a religious family, you're taught not to question whoever is disseminating the Lord's word.
Right.
Because if you question them, then you're technically questioning the Lord, because they are the vessel that the Lord chose to disseminate his word. You don't want to go into this with me, and we're going to go into this more Monday, what we're going to be doing. That's what the show Monday is going to be about. We're live from the Vino Libro. But just my thoughts of just that whole process of that hierarchical pyramid that's set up sets it up for us to screw everybody below. Screw them. I'm sorry. There's no checks and balances in the church.
I think that only exists with the people, because in the Bible it even says study to show thyself approved. So first of all, this has to do with the oppressed and the oppressor, the oppressed, which we talked about a few shows ago. So if I'm a person that wants to lead you and I want you to remain blind, then I'm not going to tell you all that I know, certainly, because I have to know it. So if I know that in the Bible God himself says, study to show thyself approved. And he also talks about false prophets and so forth and so on. And says, come and let us reason together. So if you
but most churches, they don't do that. Honestly, they don't.
No,
if you look at what they
do
in the Jewish community, in the Jewish community, you have to. It's almost like a graduation to become a Jew. You got to graduate to become a Jew.
You're right. But that's one thing that I learned. I had to learn for myself, because when I grew up taking whatever was given to me from the pulpit. I took that as the word of God, and until I, learned better. And I had to disseminate the word for myself and figure out, but we will
We'll get on that on Monday. Let's hold off on that. And basically, the Reverend killed his wife because she caught him molesting the girl.
Oh.
Now, the preacher buried his wife outside of the church before digging it up and then hiding in a deep freezer. Now, Hopkins was taken into custody during the revival service and charged with murder, sodomy, incest, and sexual abuse. His defense attorney claims that Hopkins admitted to putting his wife's body in the freezer, but he had no idea how she died.
So you put a dead body in the freezer, but you claim that you have nothing to do with the death?
Hey, there's a case going on right now where there was a body floating in a suitcase, and I think in New Jersey River or somewhere. And it just started now. They haven't found the person who put the body in the suitcase. But one of the lawyers on Nancy Grace, that's my girl, one of the lawyers on Nancy Grace said that he defended a guy who actually said that he woke up from a sleep and his wife had died of a heart attack. He didn't know how she died, and he was a crackhead, so he thought that maybe he did something under his crack, crack-induced stupor.
Mm-hmm.
So he cut her body up and threw it in the river in a suitcase. When they went to trial, they found out that the woman died of a heart attack, not of what he did.
Oh. Well, let me ask you first, though, with the preacher man, how old was the stepdaughter?
Oh, I didn't say. I have to call him back.
But now he's I don't know about him, because it doesn't seem like black people, out of all the problems that we have in our community, we don't really get to doing this kind of stuff. But the name of the wife, she sounded like she was black. Are these folks black?
Yeah, these are to black people. Black people really don't dismember people like that.
Yeah,
because we don't have the stomach for that.
Is that
seriously, old? Black people don't have the stomach for stuff like that. That's why I be so many dead bodies in the street, because we ain't touching it. We shot him. He said somebody else could get it. We're not doing that. That's dirty work. Nobody doing that. It's hard enough to get your girl to, like, and say if you, like, you know, when you bring home some fish nowadays, you got to get to somebody who's going to gut it and scrape it and all that stuff. You know what I mean? People ain't trying to do that. Oh, well, let's go into this. former NBA star and ex Real Housewives star getting a divorce. Eric Snow and Deshaun Graves stole a former star of the Real Housewives. They getting divorced. Yeah. They were one of the first ones on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, yes. But you remember they kicked her off. And she said that, yeah, she said they kicked her off and they put, which one is the one they put on in Candy? Yeah, they put Candy on there and took her off because they said that her life was too boring. They said that they said her life was too boring. She
didn't
have enough drama going on in her life. It ain't drama, yeah. And the fact is, she just did some kind of thing in February talking about, you know, being in love with her husband, and they've been together 12 years and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, meanwhile, she is a minister at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church.
Well, I knew that she went there because she they had Eddie Long on the show a few times.
No, she is a minister. And she is currently seeking her Master's of Divinity degree at Regent University.
You know, I'm not even going to touch that title, minister. I'm not going to go there.
All right. And speaking of divorce, since we haven't really gotten our entertainment section together, so I'm going to do a lot of entertainment stuff. Dwayne Wade's wife was briefly hailed today in custody during that divorce proceeding. Now, I was like, hailed? I thought maybe he walked over and put his arms around her. They was no. She was put in jail. I did. Now, wait, she was put in jail. Listen to this. The wife of Miami Heat star Dwayne Wade surrendered to authorities in Chicago and was released about an hour later. And basically what happened was she was supposed to come to court on the divorce. Because remember she was going to court trying to get Gabrielle Union for having sex in front of her daggum kids and it's messing the kids up. She's going to court for everything except for what Dwayne Wade's been trying to get from her for the past 2 years, a damn divorce. She was supposed to show up for court, but, of course, she said she'd rather not go to court and post a $10,000 bond an hour later to get out. Now, let me get this straight.
What?
You trying to divorce this man and get more money for your kids. You just wasted
$10,000. She doesn't see it that way, though.
Shouldn't Dwayne Wade's lawyers basically wrap this up and say, Your Honor, when they go back to court, say, Your Honor, if she really was concerned about her kids, she wouldn't have cost them $10,000 by just not showing up to court?
Makes sense to us who don't have a $10,000 to do.
I mean, because you paid $10,000 and got out in an hour.
So she didn't show up for court.
So they came and got her.
The house and got,
because she's been dragging this out, and the judge had to say to her, said it's getting ridiculous. The judge said to her, what she's doing is, the judge said, during the proceedings at the hearing, the judge said that this contentious breakup involving the two Wades is beginning to spiral out of control.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's a little late. It already has. Juliana, have you heard about what's going on with Mr. Wade and his wife?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Gabrielle Union. Dwayne Wade's wife tried to sue Gabrielle Union because she said that the kids saw him making out in front of him, and now the kids don't want to go to school. You know, it's just silliness. And this man's been trying to get a divorce from her for 2 years, and she refuses to basically let it happen.
Wow. She needs to go on.
If she don't get help at Charter, she should consider getting help somewhere. I'm just saying.
Because
it's kind of. What did you say, Juliana?
I don't understand what's wrong with these women sometimes. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a single mom, and like you have to have a certain respect for yourself. You know,
thank you.
Things around your children, but I'm sure that's a whole another topic.
Yeah. And that's what the funny thing is she's embarrassing the kids. You're embarrassing yourself. Now you're embarrassing the children. And speaking of divorce and people getting money, I don't know if you guys know anything about the Los Angeles Dodgers, but they're owned by a guy named Frank McCourt. Frank McCourt's wife just got her divorce settlement today. Now, when she went in there, let me just go ahead. She gets 200 and $25,000 a month.
What?
Yes.
Oh, no.
That's how much he has to pay her. $225,000 a month. And he will have to pay $412,159 a month for their six homes and a condominium that she won as well in the divorce settlement.
Oh, hell no. Excuse me.
So that's a total of $650,000 he has to pay per month.
Wow. That's
and she was seeking $1 million a month. Do you know that she used to work for the Dodgers? He gave her a job for the Dodgers. Do you know how much she made every year before she quit her job last year?
Don't say $39,000.
$2 million a year. Do you think, Julian, I'm going to go to you first, then I'm going to come back to you, Renee. Do you think a woman that had a job making $2 million a year should be allowed to ask for anything close to that kind of money?
No.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. That's deep.
I'm at a loss for words, but I'm going to keep talking because I got to keep using them. The point is, it just doesn't make sense that you go to court, you get divorced from a woman gets divorced from you, whatever the reasons are. She gets to railroad you. He gave her a job making $2 million a year, and I guarantee you she didn't have to take that $2 million and do nothing but save it if she wanted it or spend it on whatever she wanted because he handled all the bills, I guarantee you. And you go to court and ask for $1 million a month? You weren't even asking for $1 million a month when you were married. I'm totally disgusted. And then the fact that she shot for $1 million, so she ended up getting
$65,000. Wow.
I'm gonna go to LA and I'm gonna find one of them rich white men. I'm sleeping with them. I'm telling you now. I'm just telling you now. For that kind of money, he could get it.
Okay.
I'm just gonna tell you up front.
Thank you.
You wouldn't give it to him for that kind of money, Renee. You wouldn't. That's what I thought.
It would take some alcohol or something because I really do.
I'd be sober as hell, singing in the rain the whole time.
Singing in the rain.
He'd be like, "You want some lube? No.
Oh,
I don't need
wow.
it.
Okay.
For that kind of money a month, you can do whatever you want. I won't say a word. Sandra Bullock also is dumping her two-timing husband, as everybody knows.
Right.
But, again, the fella Jesse James, you should have knew what you was getting when you was divorcing Jesse James. It kind of threw me off when they said Bullock is divorcing James. I was like, anime Bullock?
Oh, my gosh.
Anime is doing this? Oh, here's some weird news. Here's some weird news, and maybe you guys will be interested in this. Appalling woman loses her breasts to a spider bite.
Appalling or appalling?
Appalling. It was appalling. It was appalling. But Appalding is a county, and it's in Georgia.
Right.
Appalding County woman remained hospitalized after a brown recluse spider bit the woman on the breast, and doctors were forced to remove her breast. So I thought about this. I said, wait a minute. If they bite you, you're forced to get your breast removed? So I called the hospital and was like, you know, I want to make sure that there's not going to be a lawsuit going on that you guys kind of overreacted to this spider bite. I mean, you don't have to remove the limb with a spider bite, do you? Well, the doctor explained that here's what happened. He said she was bit by the spider, continued to live her life, until finally the pain became overwhelming. The breast that the spider bit became so swollen that it wouldn't fit in the bra, and last but not least, before she finally decided to let me go to the hospital, the breast had turned black.
Oh, gosh. I really want to throw up. I just want you to know that. That's nasty.
And how are you going to sit up there and just hold on to this? The breast is looking wrong. It probably turned a whole bunch of colors before it turned black.
Mm.
And you didn't go nowhere. I thought men are the ones who don't go to the doctor because shit be hurting us, and we really have to be in bad shape before we go get it looked at because we always scared you're going to tell us we're going to die. So we let it get bad enough to where when we get finally go there, you tell us we're going to die.
You know, I was wondering why this story sounded familiar. That's exactly what happened. A friend was relaying a story like that to me where it happened to a man. He got bit by a spider, I think it was, and had to have emergency surgery because for a few days he didn't do anything about it. What is up with that? But that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Very crazy.
Waiting until something black?
Mm-hmm. Unless she was black, then I'd understand. She couldn't tell.
Not too many in Paulding. Tell you
that. Oh, ma'am, she said, ma'am, your breasts are black. Sir, everything is. I couldn't tell.
Oh.
Shit, my feet are too. You want to cut those off as well? She has a point. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views, and we're about to get into the topic of the day. Tell your friends, tell your family to call in because we're about to get heated and we're about to make some people mad because we're about to talk about the topic, which is
giving yourself an honest evaluation.
And when I get off the show, I'm going to go to the bathroom with some Vaseline and a book and give myself an honest evaluation. This is Your World, My View. Call in. The number is 347-989-8310. We're about to get on the topic, and I know you love it. I know you love it. You can't help but love it.
After working here for a few years, I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career, and everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
Oh, no! Your tire's all flat and junk. Oh, did I do that? Here, let me get my cellular out. Call your wrecker. Oh, shoot. I got no phone. Because I'm a pothole. So... Okay, bye!
Accidents are bad. But GEICO's good with emergency road service.
Load already. Come on!
Looks like you got a fake bundle from the phone company.
I thought AT&T was giving me a good deal. Satellite, DSL, phone.
Three wrongs don't make a right. Switch to Comcast. Get a real triple play. I got your back, John.
Got your back.
Don't be fooled by AT&T's fake bundle. Get crystal clear HD, faster internet, and unlimited calling with Comcast.
Hold me. After working here for a few years,
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
I have an annuity, but I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW. 877-CASH-NOW.
They have thousands. They'll help you too.
What lump sum of cash they will make to you.
If you get long-term payments but you need cash now,
call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.D. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Welcome back. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Billy Graham. And to my left is Ms. Lindsay Lohan. What's happening?
Not much. How are you?
Fantabulous, fantabulous. We're about to get into the topic of the day, which everybody's like, when you gonna get into the topic? Come into it now. It's the same thing. I'm just a little bit behind. The last 2 hours of the show, we spend it in the topic and in pretty much anything you guys want to talk about in the after show. And the after show starts at promptly 10 o'clock. So if you are not calling in 347-989-8310 before 10 o'clock, you will not be in the after show if you're listening online. Thank you. Welcome everybody that's in chat. Hello. Sorry I haven't been able to chat with you guys. But we are getting into the topic right now. And the topic of today is
giving yourself an honest evaluation.
Now, Renee, have you given yourself an honest evaluation?
Honest?
Yes, an honest. I'm tired of people not saying that H like it just don't exist.
Okay, we'll see how far you get saying that. Honest. I think so, for the most part. You know, I'm not finished with my evaluation.
Why is it taking so damn long?
I mean, I constantly evaluate myself. I don't, even not waiting a whole year or 18 months.
Yeah, and honestly, you should. You should get to the point where you're taking a look at, you're taking a look at everything that you do. You're taking a look at a lot of the things that you're doing, and even evaluating the things that you held dear at a certain point.
Right.
Like you might have held something dear 5 years ago that you no longer hold dear.
Right.
And you have to reevaluate yourself and think, why did I hold it dear? Why did it have such a high value in my life? And why does it not hold a high value now? Does it not hold a high value now because I never succeeded at it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does it not hold a high value because I actually succeeded at it?
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because that's how I operate. You know, some things it's like, okay, I've accomplished that, moving right along. You know, why keep looking at it? Because you've already conquered that, whatever that is. So it no longer has that same height that it did before you accomplished it.
Now, I'm about to offend a lot of people, and again, the number 678. No, it isn't. It's 347. I was about to offend myself. The number is 347-989-8310, and I'm going to get to the lines. But I'm about to offend a lot of people right now because my take on this whole subject, and the reason that I decided to let this be a topic of the show is because of this. There's a lot of you walking around with these inflated or deflated ideas of who you are.
Mostly inflated.
Yes. But most of you do not give an honest evaluation of yourself. And I'd just like to hear from a few people, 347-989-8310, about what they think of themselves. Because I put posts on my page every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to see how people, and the only people I really get to see are black women. So here we go. I get to see what black women think of themselves. And I also get to hear how black men think of themselves too. Because for as few black men that actually do respond on the page, when they do respond, it's like a blatant advertisement. It's either I can eat cooch all night long, My penis is longer than the walls. I do everything a woman asks me to do. It's some damn, it's like an advertisement. I'm thinking I should start charging them for advertising on my page.
We invented the female orgasm.
You know, just you know, certain things like that. And I'm listening to them, and I'm like, wow. But a man knows he's lying. So he doesn't have an overinflated view of what he can do. And
well,
a lot of times we just believe we have to lie to you to get what we need. So we know it's a lie.
Right.
Like Susan Smith used to tell people she didn't have any kids. She started believing it, so she just ran them kids in the water. She said, these ain't my kids. I don't know who kids these is. The niggas ain't mine. You know what I mean? I'm watching One Life to Live. Jessica done convinced herself she's 16.
Oh, no.
She did. A 30-year-old, 16-year-old in school. They done let her go back to high school and everything. But this neither here nor there. But the point is, women, to me, you guys do a horrible job at self-evaluation. Why do I say this? Gabrielle Sibide gets on TV and tells everybody how sexy she is. Really?
But did she, though? But hold on.
Yes.
Did she? Or did everybody else?
No, she said it when she was talking to, what's
his
name?
Oh, yeah, she did when he
yeah.
grabbed her butt.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah, it might have been Chris Rock. I thought it was the other cat, the one with the big teeth, the big gums and teeth.
Oh.
You know Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
Jamie got a lot of mouth, boy. He just, like, he
yeah,
fuck around,
he
go to, he look like he go down on you, come up, you have a hysterectomy.
Oh, my gosh. I like so, I'm not going to go find that.
Yeah,
but
eat
he
all
did,
that
you're
out.
Right. But
yeah,
I don't
well,
think that she fully believed that, though.
Like it was, she was just playing along with it. Like maybe now I thought about that too. Maybe she was just joking.
Who
but
said
no, she said
I'm ugly. Really?
Men.
Okay, but I'm saying what 500 pound female says is honest about where they are. Usually, when a person is extremely overweight, the thing that's said is they have a cute face. It cuts off at the face or the neck. Well, no, the
yeah,
face.
But we're talking about self-evaluation.
I know, but I'm
they
saying
they don't say it about themselves. Themselves, they will say, so, no, you remember they got that stuff, no man wants a bone.
I know, but I'm saying that they're saying that as a cover-up, and they're also saying it because people say it to them, just like ugly children think that they're cute because people lie to them.
Well, that's what I mean, honest. But you have to start with being able to give yourself an honest self-evaluation. And I can tell you that where I'm going with this is this.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone with a young lady, and it was a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking.
Okay.
She was telling me the story of this younger man who has no children,
mm-hmm.
who was, you know, having sex with her. She was telling me, you know, he wants to be with me, but I ain't ready. And, you know, I always listen to women who say that because I know if the woman's ready or not. Yeah, you know, I know if a woman wants to be in a relationship or not. And if I've heard you say that you want to be in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you can't turn around and tell me you got this perfect guy and you don't want him, and I'm supposed to believe it. I know something's wrong. So you know me. I got to dig in. I got to ask some questions.
Uh-oh.
And she was like, well, you know, he doesn't have any kids, and she has like 4 children. Like 2 of them grown.
Ooh.
And they're like 6 years apart. And I kept thinking to myself, I think the relationship is probably a lot of sex, which with us mostly it is.
Mm.
And he's with
so
his daughter, and he has no kids. Yeah, so if he has no kids, there must be something he was doing right to be in his 30s with no kids. That pretty much he probably didn't want the kids.
But let me, okay, go on with your story, and then I got a question for you.
I'll let you ask the question.
And I'm hoping to not come across offensive to people.
You will,
who
go
are
ahead.
In this situation. I know. But what would a 35-year-old man who has no children see in a female who has all those children?
Now,
what
see,
what does he have to
yeah.
benefit from her?
That's what I'm saying. An honest self-evaluation. See, the question you ask would be a question that any woman who, if she's really searching for love, knowing that, first off, niggas ain't shit. We ain't. So if you know that, you would honestly not add stresses to a relationship, meaning you can't give this man who has no kids any kids. Ain't nobody trying to get no 40-year-old pregnant. I mean, you can, but really? Unless you Demi Moore or you Halle Berry, I'm not really trying to get you pregnant like that. That's a crapshoot. You might not come out from your second trimester visit. You might not make it home. So, and again, your body probably already pretty stressed out if you got four kids. You're probably pretty not looking real good if you're not a star already. Because there's some people that look great in their clothes. You get them out their clothes and you be like, man, can it get any darker in here? Again, honest self-evaluation. I was in the bathroom last night with my daughter. And I don't ask me why we were up at 5:30 in the morning and decided to take a shower. Nobody could sleep. So we was like, let's take a shower. So me and Alice got to take a shower. I took my clothes off. Do you know my daughter made me feel horrible?
Oh, boy.
She said, Daddy, you got a big stomach. And I felt so bad. And I said, if Monday don't hurry up and get here, well, I can get on this P90X. But I knew what she was saying because there are times when I done took a shower with the lights off in the bathroom. Let me just jump up in this shower. I know where everything at anyway. I know if I keep the light on, I'm going to walk past that mirror. I ain't trying to see that. I know when I used to have a six-pack, now I got just like two cans left and a keg. I ain't stupid. I'm a man. I noticed this. Women will sit there and act like they're tiger claws across their stomach. Or I was showing a young lady today. I looked at this picture on and I misspeak a lot all the time. But I was looking at this picture online, and this woman was had nice hips, nice breasts, but she had that weird circle. You know when they have that pudge in their stomach where it's this big circle, look like a donut, like a spare tire, and then it has the little hole where the navel is, so it sits out, and it has it looking like Shrek. So I'm sitting up there like, this is real nasty. But this woman is taking this photo like she's just the most beautifulest thing in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, does she not see that? She's not even trying to hide it. Honest self-evaluation told me this morning that I need to work on that stomach. Now, other people look at me and say, you're not that bad. I guess because they see men that aren't like that. But I'm hard on myself, especially when I haven't had none in a while. But that's neither here nor there. But this woman was 40 years old with grown kids and was literally sitting up there thinking, you know, well, I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I told him I don't think this is going anywhere. And he was all nonchalant about it. He didn't say nothing. I said, because he didn't want you.
Mm-hmm.
You were just an older woman that was giving him some. He didn't want you.
He
had no need for you.
That.
Yes, and thank you. I said, he looked at you as an older woman with a bunch of kids who it would be easy to sleep with you. And I told a woman this the other day, and again, the number is 347-989-8310. Let me give you a man's assessment of you but while you're giving your assessment of yourself. If you're an older woman with children, and especially if you have some young, or if you just have kids, here's what a man who finds that out when he's trying to date you notices. One, you don't have a lot of time to be out in public. Two, you probably don't get a lot of dick if you are a parent, a good parent, because you ain't trying to let a lot of men come around your kids, so that means you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
So we know if you like dick any, which you must because you got four kids by four different dudes, then you're going to make it easy for me to get it. All I got to do is text you a little, talk to you on the phone a couple times, and bam, I can come through. And I know I don't have to see you for a week because you got kids. And if you start not seeing them kids, then you must be Susan Smith.
Low maintenance.
Yes. I don't have to do anything. Why does a woman not understand that she's 40 and got kids? She probably needs a man that's at least 40 and has kids.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have anything to mitigate her situation, meaning she doesn't have any money. If you don't have money, then you can't mitigate your circumstances of having all them kids. See, it was easy for Ashton to go out on dates with Demi because Demi had, she had nannies.
She had a lot of resources.
Yes. So Demi could go whenever she wants to because she's an actress. And Demi can get rid of them stretch marks on her stomach. Demi can get her six-pack back. Demi can look just as good as any 25-year-old woman he get. So it makes sense for him to do it. And it's still – here's what people don't do. Again, it's a correct self-assessment. And the number is 347-989-8310, and we're about to get into the calls in 40 seconds. But the point is this. Demi knows that it is rare for a man to even marry a woman in Hollywood that has the resources that's older than he.
Right.
Because the problem with being older than me is my friends are my age. And my friends
right.
typically date women that are my age. And if I keep going to events where they have women that's my age, and my woman is not my age, probably my aunt age, my mama age, it don't look good. And then when you don't look, when you look your age, then they look at you like you're crazy. You done brought your aunt up in here, man. When you know your girl old, when y'all at the fight party and they don't know, you know, people start that normally cuss, stop cussing.
Yeah.
And they start calling her ma'am. Your girl old.
No.
And men like stuff like we like cars. And again, the number is 347-989-8310. I'm going to go ahead and answer the phone right now. We're going to go to our presidential callers first. Miss Monique, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. I'm sitting here listening at you just tripping out.
I'm just saying. People, this one, do you think the woman in the story that I told you, do you think she gave herself, should she have not walked into that saying, this boy is going to be a boy toy, that's it?
She should have. She should have.
If she gave herself a, yes, if she gave herself a correct assessment of who she was, she'd understand, I'm a woman with four kids by four different men, I like dick, this man got one, I want it. But he don't want to be with me like that. If he does, it's an amazing bonus. But I'm not going to fool myself and decide that this man wants to be with me, knowing honestly that I'm in the situation that I'm in, and he is in the exact opposite situation and has reached his 30s, black man with no kids.
Right. You're right. She's in denial with that. I don't understand that.
Now, let me ask you, have you sat down and did what I advocated at the beginning, giving yourself a self-assessment where you were like, let me see who I am, and then what did you gauge it against? Because I actually see who I am and gauge it against what other people think. Have you done that?
I have. Mm-hmm. Probably with about the last month or so I've been mm-hmm. working on that.
And it's the hardest thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I kind of finalized everything yesterday, being that, you know.
You going to let me read it?
Like you. Yes, I'll I gotta make. I have to make a couple of changes before I. But yes, well,
what'd you come up with?
You
don't have to get into the deep
I'm,
stuff. Don't go into what. Don't go into the fact that you're a whore, and then
right.
next thing you know, your
right,
page
okay.
and phone blowing up.
Go into
some of
okay.
the simple stuff that it was were sort of difficult for you to admit. About yourself, because that's the hardest part about this. People understand, if you're listening, don't just call me and tell me you have correctly assessed yourself just because it sounds good. When you correctly
okay.
assess yourself, some of the stuff you find out about yourself, you don't damn like.
Right. Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to say I'm really not in denial about if it's something that I've maybe looked over, I'll say that, but it's I'm not in denial about too much of anything with myself. I know who I am, and it's all about, I guess, doing what I need to do to make sure I'm a better person than I am mm-hmm. now. And with that, and I've gauged, and everything that I've set up, it's within the next 16 months that I'm looking at. And that's in dealing with education, my parenting, being in shape, working on my business. So
mm-hmm.
all that is within 16 months. And then
okay.
I'll go into, once I get that finalized in that 16th month, then I'll see where I am.
Okay. Now let me ask you, I'll just ask you about one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You said your fitness. what did you gauge yourself against? Because some people gauge themselves that I'm going to you don't have to let the audience know exactly where you are age-wise, but did you gauge yourself against you 10 years ago, you 20 years ago, you 5 years ago, or someone you saw on television, or just something you never were but you'd like to be? How'd you gauge yourself in order to come up with this self-assessment?
Well, I haven't gauged myself against anyone. Just, I won't even say, just weight-wise, I'll say 15 pounds, not looking at anyone else. I generally eat pretty healthy, but I know it could be a lot better. So, and I need to just slim down just a little bit. So, and within my age, my metabolism, it has slowed down.
That's a great word. Slowed.
It hasn't stopped. I'm not overweight. But I still need to slim down. So, and I can see that by looking in the mirror. I don't have to gauge it by anyone else. I can see, you know, I need to be tightened up. So, and within the 16 months, I'm looking at 15 pounds.
All right. Well, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to do a self-assessment, and we're going to do it. We're going to all put our little goals out there, whatever they are. We're going to put it on the page, and we're going to see if we can get. We're going to see if we can get to some of those goals that we're doing in the self-assessment. But you're saying you're not in any denial in any kind of way, and that's a good thing. So let me ask you, when you did this, did you kind of turn up your nose at a lot of the stuff and was like, ow, I've let this happen?
Yes.
Or, wow, I haven't reached this?
Right, exactly. And my final touches from yesterday, just yesterday. That was the worst part yesterday, and it just put the period at the end of everything that I needed to work on. So, and that had to do on the level of family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where, you know, it's disgusting when you realize, you know what, I'm not making anything any better when you kind of pull people along and you hinder them because you help them so much. That's one of the things I have to work on. Stop helping grown people and let them, if they need to fall, let them go ahead and fall. And to me, that was really hard for me. So that's one of the biggest things that I have to work on, letting people do what they do. That doesn't have anything to do with me. So that was the final touches. That may have been my denial, thinking I'm just really helping. You know what? You're not helping. You're making things worse. That was the last.
You are 100% correct on that one. A lot of people think that they're. You remember the caller that called a while ago, and guys, again, 347-989-8310. Press 1. You want to talk. You remember when we had the conversation when the lady was saying, you know, God had called her to help these people, and she really was thinking she's helping this man, even though she's cheating and smoking weed.
Right. you know, you're making it worse, and you make them sick. So just kind of stop that.
Because I get tired of you talking about Jesus when you just gave me head. It make me mad.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you know what?
Well, Ms. Monique, stay around. Listen for the after show. Stick around for the after show. We're going to get on these calls because I know it's a lot of people probably pretty upset with me. So I want to hear what they're saying.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go from the penthouse to the presidential, from the presidential suite to the basement. And we're going to bring in Miss AJ. AJ, what's going on? AJ, are you there? 773-780, are you there? 773-780.
Wait, hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What's
hello?
Going on? That mute button is serious.
Oh. Wait, I had my earpiece in. I thought it was working. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. That's what you get for having that green tooth. You got to put some yellow in it. Got a blue tooth.
It was just working fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, you sound great. You sound clear. So I got to ask you the tough question that no one wants to answer. Have you, one, did a self-assessment? Have you looked at yourself and said, I'm going to write down who I am as of today?
I did that when I was 21.
How do
but
you
I don't do it periodically. I'm in my late 20s.
that damn thing is outdated. That thing spoiled and pink. You pull that thing out, it will run everybody out your house. What is that smell? That's not self-assessment.
I don't necessarily write it down, but I do, like, I'll do evaluations of myself just talking and looking back on my journal sometimes and just, like, you know, things that I wanted to do that I've accomplished. And so, I mean, in a sense, yes, but I don't necessarily just write, okay, I want to get this done or I want to get that done or this is what I need to improve on or not. So.
Now, this is, I might want to make sure I call out the right name. This is AJ, right?
This is AJ. Mm-hmm.
All right, good deal. Good deal. Just making sure. Thought it might be BG or somebody, and I called the wrong person.
Ah!
There you go. Like, know the number, but let me just make sure. But, all right, when you did this self-assessment that you haven't done in damn near 10 years, was it something that you looked at and did you make a face at it? Did you say, ew, I'm here? Or did you look at it,
yes,
beat your chest, and was like, oh, I'm in great shape?
No, I didn't. I mean, I wasn't in good shape at all. I mean, from when I was in high school to 21, I mean, I still felt like I was in the same place. And then since 21, I mean, there's a lot of things that has definitely grown with me since then, since I first wrote it, and a lot of things have changed that I can actually look up to. And it's like, oh, okay, I can smile about it. There are some things that I still will probably frown at. You know, I think we all have things that we just don't accomplish that we set out to, but we just don't. So there's a few things. So, yeah.
Okay, well,
I mean, like, I actually look back and I have to write it.
Well, okay, well, right now, we're going to do an assessment of AJ right now. We're going to do it right now in front of the world. We're going to do it.
No.
You can't back out of it. Nope, we're going to do it. From what you can remember from the time you were 21 to the time you're now, when you were 21 and you realized where you were not and what you needed to do, in the 9, 10 years or however long it's been, have you gotten to the point where you thought you should be at this point? Whether it was having children, being married, being a star, a porn star, or car sales, whatever it was you thought at 21 you'd be at 29, 28, 27. Are you there?
I'm here. So at 21, yeah, I used to always think that I would be a mom before 25. That was something that I dreamed about. But then as I approached the 25 mark, that was far from my radar. Like, what was I thinking at 21? You know, so there's one thing that actually when I turned 25, I looked back and I'm like, oh, what was I even thinking? And then the person that I was with, like, I thought he was the best person in the world. And, you know, as I got into a later age, it was like I wasted a lot of time, you know. And then as far as a career-wise, like, there were some things that I wanted to do, but I haven't done, still haven't done, you know. I wanted to finish school. So, yeah, I mean, I finished school and everything and got a job, like, career that I wanted to choose and that I actually do like, that I can actually smile about. So, and my relationship with my mom has gotten closer. So there are some good things and there are some, you know, not so good things. So,
well, I guess the way that I try to approach it, the self-assessment, is this. You can view yourself against the way others view you. You can view yourself the way you just think of who you are. Then you can view yourself against, you know, against something concrete. How do you think others see you as far as career-wise? Where do you think someone else would say you are in your career? If one of your friends or sisters or cousins or whatever, if they were talking about you career-wise?
They would think, I mean, I'm like on top of my game and further than they would have expected. I mean, like, they look up to me much more than I actually see myself. So, I mean, I have younger cousins and my peers, my cousins that are my age. I mean, I don't know. They think I'm just like this big top person, you know, making tons of money and all that. And I'm just like, no, I'm not even there yet.
Right.
I'm
so you're
still
saying,
working
okay,
on that.
And then that aspect that they look at you and they see probably more than what's actually there.
Right. Okay. Definitely. And that sometimes that depresses me because I'm like, oh, my God. I'm not even there yet. Hold on. Give me some time.
That's another part of the self-evaluation. Sometimes you can be driven by others' thoughts of you than what you actually want to do. Your parents were doctors, and they want you to be a doctor. And there's some kids who will go to school and literally have flunked out but be too scared to come home because of what their dad or their parents are going to think.
Exactly.
And they don't have the ability to do an evaluation of themselves and say, hey, I'm not cut out to be a doctor. No matter what they want me to do, I can't do that. Another way of the evaluation I want to ask you about as far as dating, and the reason I ask this, because, again, I don't know if you heard, I believe that black women have an overinflated view of who they are and what they bring in a relationship. Every time you talk to a single black woman, they talk about how good they are and how somebody would be blessed to have them. I've never heard a woman say, you know what, I'd be the wrong chick for you to date. I ain't shit.
I say it all the time, you know. Not that I'm not shit, but I say I'm not mentally ready right now for, like, if someone wants to look at me as, like, wife material, there's a lot of things that I'm working on myself with because I have those jealousy moments, and no one wants to be with a person that's, like, have those jealousy issues. That's something I'm still working on. I mean, like, I've worked on it. It's gotten a lot better, but I used to be really bad at it, like, when I was
a little bit younger. Wow, so you admit that you're a jealous person.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of it now. I mean, not as much as I was when I was, like, in my early 20s. I was real bad at it. I mean, stalk you. I would, you know, ride down on you. I mean, I would do all of that. I've never slashed a tire. It's come to my mind before. In my early 20s. That's definitely been thoughts of mine. But, you know, as you get older, you grow, and you just, like, some of the things that you thought about when you were younger, that it's like, ugh, it's just stupid. I'm like, I don't even waste my time thinking about so much negative stuff. But, I mean, I think everyone has a little bit of jealousy in them. I just found a way to control it. So.
Yeah, everyone is. I think, and especially here's for me, the biggest time when jealousy shows up is when it's something you really, really covet. It's easy to not be jealous of somebody you don't really want to be with anyway. You hope they cheat. Please go cheat.
Right. Like, please, take something and come off my hands.
Give me a reason to leave. I'm leaving because you cheat. You told me to go cheat. Ah, I'm lying. You know. So, but a lot of times if you listen to people, I know you've listened to your friends, and they talk about what they can do, and their value to a man is always more than what you think it is. Like, you'll be dealing with a chick, and you see her face, and you thinking, she's got a Facebook profile. I know she sees her own pictures. Why does she think she's a 10? She's not.
Because other people tell them that, you know? I mean, if you're just, like, in a hood, like, neighborhood, you know, whatever, of a, you know, just all five, and you're, like, the 8 or whatever, or all 2s, and you're, like, the 6. I mean, people are gonna boost that person's ego, and then everyone else telling them the same thing. I mean, yeah, you have to have confidence in yourself, but, you know, some people just don't need to boost that whole extra confidence because it's not even needed and not even necessary. Like,
but
no,
you know what? You know what I attribute this to about women?
Why?
Women never get a chance at a young age to get honestly evaluated. Nobody's going to tell their daughter she's not that cute, but a dad will tell his son he's not that handsome. We'll tell our son, you know, you look kind of like me, so you need to get funny because you're not going to get women because of the way you look. I mean, I remember being young, and I came to the assessment of people always ask, well, where how'd you get into comedy? I said, because I wasn't handsome. I wasn't stupid. Did nobody just walk up to me and like, oh, my God, I never got that. I saw dudes get the, oh, girl, give me his number. Go get his number. I seen them trying to sneak around this dude. And I was like, they never try to sneak around me like that. So I came to an honest self-assessment. But there are women who know that they'll go out with their friend. Their friend will get more attention than them. And they'll come up with some dumbass reason. Yeah, they'll come up with some dumbass reason other than the fact that she looked better than him. She always got her titties out. She got her pants on real tight. I ain't got to do all that. Think about it. You know what I mean?
No good.
And you thinking, I could wear a damn muumuu and still would pull more men than you because you look like a muumuu in the face. and that's, but men, here's what we're, and sports-wise, here's what we also told at a young age. We'll get told, you're not tall enough to play quarterback. You're not tall enough to be a center. We will have people that can tell, you can tell boys stuff honestly, because no one says you to us, we got to worry about them crying. Matter of fact, if we cry, somebody will tell you, stop crying like a girl.
Right.
Men have been conditioned to hear the truth all the time. So when you tell a man, you know, you're not fast enough to play wide receiver, you're probably going to have to be a tight end. You're probably going to put on weight and be a tight end. A man understands that. Women don't understand that. We know that probably it's not a good idea to tell you up front that we got four kids by four different women, because you're not going to be interested in that. So we hide
exactly.
that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Women will sit up there and
tell
you. You
got some women that will accept it.
You know, you do, but what we know is it's difficult up front. We don't want to say nothing up front that's going to get us put out of the running, and if we don't know you like that, we're just going to withhold information or not give it to you at all. Women will literally look at you like you crazy if they tell you, yeah, I got these four kids by four different men, and I'm still a good catch. What makes you a good catch at that point? Do an honest self-evaluation and say, if I was looking for a car, if they were selling me a car with the credentials I just gave, would I want to buy it?
Nah.
No. No. Exactly. but they don't do that. And I'm going to ask you, because I heard you amen in the idea of other women looking and saying, well, you dress like this, or your profile picture like this, or if I have whatever. But they never just say, you look better than me. Why do you think that is?
I mean, something inside of them. I mean, it's just jealousy, you know, and they feel like they need to work on themselves, and in order for them to feel better about themselves, they have something negative to say about you. That's just what a lot of women do. So a lot of women that don't have enough self-esteem about themselves. So
all right, now you're in an industry where self-esteem can be knocked down in seconds, where you get called old once you hit 30. Do you have the ability to look at another woman and say, wow, if this is my competition, I'm going to lose? Have you ever been able to walk in and say, yeah, if that's my competition, I'm going to lose?
All the time. I mean, if I go into an audition, if it's for modeling, yes. If it has anything to do with looks, I mean, I will see someone that is my competition, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, she may get this part or whatever, depending on what it is. Or there are times I walk in and it's like, oh, she's cute, but I know I can get this. I knock it out the bag, whatever. You know, so, I mean, it's just you have those moments. I think everyone has those moments, you know.
But see, the good thing about your industry is, it's competition. And competition
always
breeds honesty. Once there's competition in anything, honesty will come out. When there's competition and when you're looking for people to come for a job, and when they do like I don't know if you've ever been in one, but they call roundtable interviews. Well, they will be five people interviewing about 10 candidates all at once, and they all have to basically talk at the same time.
Right.
When
I've
you do that, you can be honest, because they're competing against each other, and you know we're only looking for three out of these 12 people, so we can be honest with them. Same thing with when you're going in for an audition for a role in a movie or a television show or whatever you're doing, or if you're modeling for somebody's clothing line. What they realize is, I need to get three of the best out of these 100 people. I can be critical to them because I have to be. I can't pretend that everybody's good for this job. I can't.
Right.
So in your industry, it's almost like playing football or whatever, and it creates the idea that you guys are like men, because you can look at your competition and say, she might have me on the legs part, and this is a legs commercial. I understand that if she gets the role. She got a breast job, and I really need one, but I haven't been able to get the money to do it. Her breasts look great in that swimsuit.
Yep, exactly.
And then, see, the funny thing about it is that you guys have gotten to that point. Does it hurt you to be able to self-assess yourself that easily now, though? Because women, because you're more emotional, does it hurt you when you realize, she looks better than me?
I mean, well, I would never say my person looks better than me. If I say it's more of a joke, I mean, like, you look better, whatever.
You would never say a chick looks better than you?
Not open, not publicly. But
I'm not
inside,
saying you're
probably
gonna grab the mic from him and be like, Tyler Perry, she looks better than me. She should get the job.
Right. I mean, I'll definitely, like, give a person their props. Like, oh, you look good. I mean, and I'll have those moments where I'm looking at myself like, why does he have to be here, you know? So, I mean, naturally, I think every model goes through that. So just going into an audition and seeing, but you have to find a way to talk to the person to find out what are they insecure about and what it is that makes them feel, you know, self-conscious. And it's all a game. You have to knock them personally. You got to knock them off their game, you know. So that's what it's all about.
Right, confidence is a big thing, and that's a part of this whole thing. AJ, thank you. I want to bring you back to the after show if you stick around, girl. I got a lot of more calls, and I think these people are real upset with me about what I'm saying about
No, it's fine. I do have one more comment afterwards, so yeah, definitely.
Yeah, please stick around. We're going to the after show in 10 minutes, so stick around. We're going to get to another call right now. Tiff, I'm going to bring you in on the after show because I love the way you speak, and I know we got 10 minutes, and I don't want to rush you up against the clock. What we're going to do is bring in 678. 499. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, nothing much. We are discussing, if you don't know, the topic of the night is an honest self-evaluation. We're talking about the idea of being able to say to yourself, I am not a damn 10. Let me quit telling people I am a 10. I'm not intelligent. I know I'm not that damn, I'm not that smart. Let me quit telling people I am. Have you sat down and had a honest self-evaluation of yourself? What's your name, by the way?
Oh, call me Ron, man.
All right, Ron. Have you had time to sit down and say, this is who Ron is?
You know, honestly, I'm just doing it. Well, not just doing it, but I'm more firm on myself of doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 21. I'm about to turn 22 in June.
All right. Well, you got time, unlike the rest of us. We'd have been lying to ourselves for years.
But I'm telling you, man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling more, you know, more confident in myself, I'm feeling better, you know, because I'm out working out every day. And, you know, I just really got tired of, I was never fat. But it's just I was at the point where I was like, you know, I'm not, you know, I'll be seeing my other friends way back from high school that is in top shape. You know, I got six packs and everything. They're like, man, they ain't doing nothing different. I could do the same thing.
Yep.
You know, and so I'm buckling it down and I'm seeing major results.
Okay, so that was the one thing. So that was the one thing that you were able to assess yourself against others, you were able to look at your friends and say, well, wait a minute. They're here, and they're not doing a whole bunch more than I could do.
Right.
Okay. What made you even take a look at that? What was the first thing? Because, like me, when I walked past the mirror last night and my daughter pointed at my stomach, that made me realize, okay, I need to do something about this. So what you need to do, Ron, is get on the program with us. We're doing the P90X, the 90-day program. We're starting this Monday. You need to come check out the website, yourworldmyviews.com, and get on there with us. Join the P90X and do it with us. But and I see you're here in Atlanta with us, so you can join us and be a part of it.
Yeah.
But you were able to take a look at others around you and say, you know what? I can actually do what they're doing, and you saw your own shortcoming, or was this pointed out by somebody else?
No, it was actually me. You know, I mean, I'm not bad looking at all. It's just that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing about me. I'm very, very hard on myself, man. I'm gonna tell you like a short story. It was one female way back in elementary. We had a major crush on each other. You know, she was like one of the finest girls in the school, but, you know, I stay in Stone Mountain, and it just so happened that I moved to Stone Mountain. And this was like back in, I moved to Stone Mountain in 2003. And it's like when she first saw me in the area, you know, she's staying in Stone Mountain too. When she saw me in the area, she got really excited. You know, she was really happy to see me, but the thing is, when she had it was one day I was in the parking lot about to pull out of the parking lot, and she was right in the back of me, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and she had this big ass smile on her face, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's her. You know, I mean, be honest with you, I was kind of hesitant and shy, you know, but it took me a second to think about, like, well, I'm not comfortable. Now, if I was an approacher, I wouldn't be comfortable. Why? Because, number one, I'm not confident the way I look right now. She probably mm-hmm. thinks that I'm attractive, more than likely, but I'm not comfortable. So, therefore, I'm not going to talk to her. She got mad, and she hates me now, you know, so I just kind of took that loss. I was like, well, I mean, that's just how I am. I'm a weird guy, you know?
Yeah, no,
I'm a weird guy.
Well, you're right. A lot of people will, even if somebody else thinks something, that was, again, an honest self-assessment. Like, people will think more of you, and AJ said it in the call before, that people will think more of you than you think of yourself at times. And like you said it wasn't that they were telling you or that she would say anything about you're out of shape. You felt yourself that by your own standard, you weren't there, so that didn't make you feel confident, right?
Right, right.
Exactly. Now, where are you at not right now? If you were to approach this woman or see this woman or a woman of this caliber again right now, where do you think you'd be at mentally now?
Mentally, I'm still not confident. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, I have two pictures on Nelly, of Nelly on my wall, my room.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is I'm trying to get to that body. You know, and until I get to that body, I'm not going to be confident.
Okay. Now, you know what? That was one of the things I brought up earlier. You need to have a goal. I don't know what the goal is. It could be your friends. It could be whatever. And it sounds like you picked a goal.
Right, right. And I'm seeing major results. The one thing, it took me a while. It took me a second to really get, you know, to really understand that the major thing to getting in shape is your diet.
Yes.
Because you know what? I would go out, I would run, and I'm talking about, you know, when you run, you know, mentally you have these things going inside your mind. Like, you know, when you start running, you're like, man, I know I can do more. And, you know, you get mad at yourself that you can't do more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you get mad at yourself at what you ate last night. And that's really what I had to go through. I had to go through all that, like, several times. I was like, man, you know what? I'm not doing them, wasting my time. If I'm out here running and I go back home and eat these high calorie foods and not burn mm-hmm. off those extra calories. So I was
exactly.
like, man, I'm about to diet and get my diet right.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Juliana teaches people on Fridays, where she talks a lot about your diet, about what you put in your body, because no matter what you do on the outside, if you're putting the wrong thing in it, you're not going to see results, or if you see them, they're going to be minimal.
Oh, yeah.
So did you have a personal trainer, or is this just something you're doing on your own?
Well, I just got recently I've just been networking with I got two personal trainers. One goes to Georgia Perimeter. I met him because I'm supposed to be going to Georgia Perimeter College in the summer. I met him, you know, at the gym. You know, he's a cool guy. You know, he was like, you know, just call me, man. And I got a pretty flexible schedule. So, yeah, but mainly I've been just trying to buckle it down on my own until I start going to college more.
Right.
But I'm going to check out that program, though. You get the program he's talking about.
Yeah, check it out. We're going to tell you more about it, and we're about to end the part of the show that's going to be online. I want you to stay on, though, and talk with everybody on the after show. Continue with more of your story. So stay online. Thanks, Ron, for calling. Stay online and talk back more to us on the after show, all right?
All right, cool, man.
All right, we got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Renee, we got 2 minutes
before
we get off there, and people like, well, we don't have 2 minutes. We got a minute. You got the numbers 347-989-8310 for you to call in if you want to talk in the after show, because if you're listening online, you are about to be cut off. You're not going to hear a damn thing. It's just going to go blank, and you're going to start hearing some advertisements. Now, what I want to get into after, I'd like to thank you guys for buying Marsha's book and all. But some of you guys have bought Marsha's book.
Uh-oh.
You haven't donated to the show. So I'm a little confused. Are you confused, Renee? I mean, I'm just figuring, you know, I knew that if we have one of those people on the show that they would like the show. And it was a cool for us to get this person on the show. And I enjoyed having Marsha on the show. And she wants to come back and talk to you guys more about financial situations. But I want to talk to you guys about financial situations as well. But we're going to get into this in the after show. Today's show was about evaluating yourself honestly. And one of the hardest parts about evaluating yourself, and I tell anybody, is that it will hurt. If you give yourself a true evaluation the first time you do it, it will hurt. So, again, you can take my advice and do it this way every 12 to 18 months. Take a look at where you wanted to be and where you are against something else. This is Your World, My Views, and join us Monday as we will be live from the Vino Libro talking about religion versus reality. Can the two coexist? This is Your World, My Views. I'm Thomas. This is Renee. And we'd like to bid you adieu and a sayonara up until next week. Thank you, guys. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because it's adieu.
No, it is not. I ain't got to say it like that. There are people in France that don't say it like how you said it.
Okay. That's all right.
See, that's a Negro for you. Self-assessment.
Oh, my gosh.
Damn.
It's what you call putting my education into play.
That has nothing to do with education. If you're in the South, doesn't the way I speak sound a little different to somebody up North?
Yes, you certainly eloquently express that.
Right. And if you look at your schedule in England, they going to say your schedule. What are you going to tell them? That's wrong.
Well, if we were in England, then do as the English do.
Well, we ain't in France, so do as the Negro just did and call it a do.
Okay, I put that one out there. I'll give you.
Thank you. You cannot win an argument with me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in view of my, or if you can hear my voice, you ain't got to check me. I check myself. I'm up here looking at Lindsay Lohan and Mean Girls. Mean Girls is on, guys. That's one of my favorite movies. You know, I'm starting to give myself a self-assessment. Which is a double positive, whatever that is. It can't be a double entendre. Anyway, I'm selfing myself for some reason. If you can hear me, that means I can hear you, and that means you're a part of the after show. And if you hear that beautiful young 6'2" lady who's giggling in the background, she's about to give you the rules of the game.
Oh, shoot.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, get ready to step on your seatbelt because the ride is about to be a little bumpy at first. But let me just tell you, the only rule that I have, well, I have two rules. The first rule is never interrupt me while I'm speaking. The rule number two is, as Thomas said, if you can hear his voice, you are now in the after show, which means if your bad-ass kids are still up, I don't care if it's Friday night, and they hungry, throw them a Hot Pocket or a Pop-Tart. If your dog is hungry, you better walk them or give them a bone. And if your bird is tapping, throw that bird a cracker and let's get it cracking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord.
Put the little black screen over his cage. Yeah, put a little black screen over his cage. Let him know it's time to take your ass to bed.
There you go.
Don't give a child a Hot Pocket at 10 o'clock because they will be up for another few hours.
Hey, that's a 20-second.
Y'all got the game twisted. Y'all let y'all kids dictate y'all. Uh-huh. Y'all be telling me, you get them kids sugar, they won't go to sleep. Shit, you choke them, they will.
Oh, wow.
Tell you to choke them.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Now, you lock them in the closet with the artistic towel. They can draw together all night long.
I done put my daughter to sleep plenty of nights just by ciphering off just a little oxygen. Let me take a little oxygen from you.
Listen, you can draw the most pictures in the closet.
Hey, how you think Michael Jackson, he was like, shit, I can't go to sleep. Let me take this propofol.
So doing some NyQuil, I was trying to be nice by saying Hot Pocket. NyQuil.
That's what I'm saying. You got a good parent. If they give you a Hot Pocket, I'm giving your ass a shot of Ciroc.
Just going to jail. You're going to be seven-fifing yourself behind the bar.
Okay.
And it's going to be too late.
All right, Ron, I'm gonna get to you in a second, but I got to get to my girl, and then I got to get to two of my girls. I got to go back to AJ because she said she has something real important for you guys to say, and then I want to let Tiffany say something, then I'm going to let you go back, Ron. But Tiffany, AJ, what is it that you would like to ingratiate us with? And you got a nice ass. I'm just going to tell you that.
Oh, God.
I'm looking
Thank
at your
you,
picture.
Tom.
You need to, I'm, you, I know you done gave yourself that assessment and said, I got a nice ass.
I do. I love my legs more than anything. But, yes, mm-hmm. I mean, I like my, you know, derriere. Thank my mama for
it. Yeah, it's nice. A little slim chick like that with a little bump like that. You can fuck around and get married if you want.
Stop it. It wasn't important to say. It was back to your original, I guess, the first person you were talking about, the four-year-old with the you know, four kids and, you know, guy without kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was listening to it, I was like, well, but my mom did not, you know, when she had she has three kids, two different dads. But my stepdad doesn't have any kids, didn't want any kids. They met each other when they were, like, in their late 20s, and they got married when they were 30. He just did not want any kids at all. So he was actually looking for a woman that had kids already.
Well,
so, he's about 5 years older. He's about 5 years older than my mom.
Thank you. That's so in your situation. You remember what I said? I said at the end of it, I said,
but she's 10 years older. I'm talking about the girl you're talking about. Oh,
yeah, I was saying she needs to find a guy that's either her age or older. She doesn't need a younger guy. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
I think I
a younger guy
already
is
discussing
in
it.
Yeah, the reason I was looking at it was he was in position where he's younger, and whatever he did to enter 30 to not get kids, apparently either it was something he was trying to do or he accidentally went that long. But whatever it was, you weren't able to do it, and you were older than him. And I don't know if you've ever seen a woman who's had 1, 2, 3 kids with their clothes off. Ain't that
well,
cute? It really ain't.
Some of them are. My mom works. She's like really big on health. So some women do take it serious and women don't. So
no, they still look good in their clothes. I'm talking about outside.
No, I mean, my mom does everything. True. My mom is still perky.
Because I'm telling you, every time I see a woman with kids take her clothes off, I take a deep breath for a second. let me get used to this.
Oh, God.
I'm used to seeing. But no, you're right. It's not a 100% rule, but then it goes back to the self-assessment. Your mom probably made an assessment of the fact that, one, your mama probably got some good pussy. She probably noticed that.
don't try that. I don't want to hear all that. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just telling you, your mom, it's some of y'all out there that gave y'allself a good assessment. It's some of y'all out there that gave y'allself an assessment that you got. Well, it's too many of y'all that gave y'all an assessment that you got good pussy. But some of y'all got it and know it. Y'all got 3 or 4 niggas on stalking charges in jail right now. And he calling your ass from jail knowing that they could extend his sentence if he keep calling you. But he's still calling you talking about some, please accept my call. You have a collect call from Jamarcus.
I'm not listening to you right now.
You know what I'm saying? So y'all know you got some good stuff. So I'm sure your mama came to the point where she's like, this pussy done got me in trouble. I need to put it in a cage a little bit. These niggas is acting. I can't just dole it out like I used to in my 20s.
Stop it.
So she probably got that going for her. You said she stay in shape. If you a black man, you dating
a black
woman.
So who's the next person you're going to talk to right now?
I'm going to keep talking to you.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
saying because
no.
I'm about to get your mama's number.
No.
You keep talking.
No.
I'm going to add her to my Facebook page.
She's not on Facebook. It's my dad.
Oh, I'm going to get her on Facebook. I'd be going to send her a public service announcement. Anybody that ain't on Facebook will be arrested. Oh, Lord, baby, I got this thing in the mail. Help me set up a Facebook.
Silly.
But if she gave herself an assessment after a while, and my mom did the same thing. My mom was like, look, I ain't going to keep on having these damn kids by these low-life niggas. I'm going to go get me a lame.
Wow.
It came my stepdaddy, a lame du jour. My stepdaddy lame. You ever again, a correct self-assessment. Have you ever listened to old people tell you? My stepdad tell me the story all the time about how he used to be a player, and because he was in, used to travel with the Osley brothers, that, you know, women was all on him. I was like, nigga, they didn't know you. You were so far in the back of the band. But I knew, like, I was like, you know, my mom was skinny as a stick, didn't have no breasts, no ass. But I'm assuming my mama had some good pussy.
Stupid.
I'm just saying. She had to have something because one, my daddy used to make little comments. I was like, what does he mean by that? And you know, my daddy would come over, it would be he'd bring me some McDonald's and then they'd go in the room. Yeah, so I was like, man, they be in that room for a minute. And then they come out breathing hard. They were too stupid to even wait. Oh, boy, wow. Good to see you, boy. You know, I'm about to leave.
So I
was like, good to see you. You didn't see me. You just dropped off this thing, but these nuggets is real good.
Oh, my goodness.
That's when you know the pussy good. That's when you know the pussy good when he forgot he had a child, when the child is just an excuse to come over.
Oh,
I knew I came over here for some other reason. I'm not sure. I did. So, but you know, so she assessed herself and understood. Look, I'm tired of the runaround, and I can get this dude. I don't know if your stepdaddy lame like mine is, but mine's pretty lame. And she, you know, she realized, you know, hey, if I'm gonna get with a dude, let me get to this square. But this square, he think what I got is the best thing in the world. If I'm gonna get with a dude of a certain stature, he's gonna look at it and say it's not. It's just like education. You ever notice that people get a job and they tell you, girl, they paying me $12 an hour and they be happy.
Oh, God.
And you think to yourself, really?
I'm laughing up there.
Yeah. You ever tried to be happy for somebody that done got some shit that you want to laugh at?
Yes.
Here's the one that get me.
Girl. Oh, my God.
Here's the one that get me. Nigga told me, dawg, I got a house. I'm going to have a housewarming party. And he sounded so excited. I said, I'm going to go over to this nigga's house. And you got to make sure you bring a gift. Man, the 10 people that came with gifts, there wasn't enough room to put the gifts in. We had to leave the gifts outside.
Oh, my God. Are you fed? That's when you laughing.
I said, I have never heard, and I made the joke, I said, I have never heard of a studio house. I've heard of a studio apartment.
I had somebody invite me to a housewarming, and it was an apartment. Do you know I grabbed my gift and took my couple of guns, and I left. But I called her the next day and told her I left. I said, I cannot come to a housewarming in an apartment that you just signed the lease, the rental agreement on Tuesday. Okay? I'm sorry. When you sign a title or a deed, invite me, holler at the girl, I will be there.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like this correct assessment sometimes is what are you measuring yourself against? And again, a smart woman like my mom and your mom, AJ, realize, okay, I've gotten past this. This door is shut. Which door is open? And a lot of you don't realize what door is shut and try to go through the doors that are open. It's just like I said in my thought of the day. My thought of the day, I brought up the idea of a lot of us spend most of our time around people that make us feel like shit.
Yeah.
Before we'll spend time around people that make us feel good. And then somebody was like, well, why would you do that? I said, well, the answer is easy. Life is about a challenge. And if you know people are going to love you regardless, it's easy to go do other shit because when you come back, they're still going to be there.
Yeah.
And I equated it to the idea of dating a woman who will let you cheat as much as possible. Well, you don't put anything into that relationship because she's letting you cheat as much as possible. No matter what you do, you can come back home.
Yeah.
And so it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. No, I'm saying it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. That's what's funny. It's just a – who is that?
Wanda.
This ain't Wanda.
Wanda, can you hear me?
This is not Wanda. Who's this? Look at this. See, that's black folks. Self-assessment. Know what kind of phone company you got. You got Metro PCS. Don't be trying to dial two people at once. You lucky it connected you to one person. You got lucky.
Oh, my God.
And speaking of this assessment, Tiffany, have you sat down and done a self-assessment?
Yes, I do a self-assessment usually about once a year. I try to do it at least once a year.
All right. Did you cry at least at half of the self-assessments you've been doing?
No, I didn't cry. Actually, I've never had an assessment, and I won't say never. The ones that I've done, I will say in the last 3 to 5 years, have come out really good to the point where they've made me put those things that I wrote down into action.
I did a self-assessment before this show because I wanted to come on with some facts. About a third of the way through that shit, I just threw that piece of paper away. I was crying like a bitch. I said, I am the laziest nigga possible. I would never date me.
No, but you know, I found out. At least
I used to wonder why I lie so much until I read that self-assessment. This is why I lie. So you saying that yours, you looked at it and was like, because honestly, if you give, people always say that you should be your worst critic. You should. My mom used to tell me all the time when I was little, boy, your breath smelled like shit. You should have smelled it before I did.
Right. Yes, you truly should be your worst critic. And that's why my eyebrows sort of went up when you were asking the question about who do people hold themselves against. And I'm listening to these answers, and I'm like, my answer is myself. I don't care what somebody my age would be doing. I wouldn't care what I thought somebody on TV was doing. I wouldn't care about those things. I want to know what do I think that I should be doing, or where do I think that I should be at. And I based upon where was I when I was 25 and thinking where I should be at 29. And that's what holds true to me, not what somebody else is doing or what even what other people think. I'm very much harder on myself than what people are on me.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but how do you even know where you should be if you didn't have anything to measure it against in the first place?
Because, like, for example, when I did my one this year, I thought about, okay, last year, because I actually was good this year. I did my last one in June of last year. And then I thought to myself, okay, when I looked at my, because I actually wrote it down, my one in June, I went back and I looked at it. And I said, okay, what are the things from a year ago that I've accomplished and what things have I not accomplished? And then I thought about, okay, at 25 versus last year and this year. So that's how I do it.
Okay.
Based on my own, where would I be? Or where should I be?
Because I always assume, like, when people say, well, you should graduate in 4 years.
No.
What I'm saying is, you know, well, where did you get that shit from? There's some niggas graduating 3 years and some graduating 9. So
yeah.
You have to measure it against something or either what do you want to be doing in 4 years if you're just going to do that. So when you were 25 and now you're 29, you say you did your self-assessment from what you thought you would be at 25, at 29, and you're saying you're good? You're like on target?
No, the thing about, okay, it is with a phone hanging out of a window flying down the road, either turn your phone off or in the car. Or,
I'd rather them in the call because it's getting irritating that they're not even paying attention to the fact of what they
cried.
Do. Like they just accidentally called the show. They put their phone in their pocket and the touch screen made it call me.
It is, and they know they're doing it. Now, what I was saying was, mine is kind of backwards because it's kind of weird because the things that I thought I was going to be doing at 25, I did them, but my problem is I did not sustain or maintain them. Like, I bought a house. I've owned property. I've gotten married. I got married. I've done all those things, but I wasn't able to maintain them. And so that's been my fallback. Not what I should do. Like, I'm not at the point where I'm at where I say, oh, I want to buy a house. I've already done that. Now, have I maintained that? No. Or I want to finish school. I already done that. Did I maintain it? No, because I just started a second degree recently. So it's the maintaining piece that I'm kind of stuck on.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, that is good. And so you are pretty good. It's like you look at yours like a bucket list. Like you did it, don't matter. Like I had kids. What is it? I don't know. But I bought a house. Where is that shit? I ain't got it.
Exactly. And the biggest one that I've had the problem with trying to fix is being married, because I got married very young. And I just knew that I wanted to do it. I was one of those people that I wanted to do it once, and that was it. And to look back on how I even gotten to where I've gotten now, it's like I'm still trying to think about how did I even get to this point, and how was I not able to maintain it, and where I messed up in doing that. And that's going to help me fix the next time I do get married. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I'm a little thrown off because. No, I was just wondering. I know how this goes, and for women, it may be a little bit different than men. Does it hurt you to have that on your resume, divorcee?
For
or
me,
did you not even
yes.
think about it? Do you like fuck no. it? It is what it is.
No, for me, at this point now, yes, I can honestly say it is what it is. I look forward to the next time I get married. But there was a point in a long point of my life where I kept saying, what I could have, should have, would have done, because I hold being married once and making it last so very high on that list of things to accomplish in life. And that's just my personal view on marriage. If not for trying 2 and 3 and 4 times trying to get it right.
And I always tell people this, I will stick with every rule I make. I don't have floating rules. My one rule is this, the more you do something, once you've done something, it makes it easier to do it a second time. Most people who've had one divorce usually have two. It's not hard for you to do it again because you've experienced it once. Once you have anal sex once, you generally don't just stop. Once you give head once, you don't say, I'm good on that.
I'm laughing in strong agreement.
Yeah, because once you reach in the bag and get one of them Lay's potato chips, you don't be like, I'm straight. You ever had a nigga tell you, let me get one of them fries? His ass is back in your sack.
But you know what? But looking at even things like that where you say it's easier to do, it may come easier to mess it up the second time around. On the flip side, don't you think now that you do it again, let's take marriage for example, don't you think now that you see the things that you mess up in the first time around, it may turn around better the second time around? Like, that's how I look at it.
Yeah,
that's
but I always throw stuff
like
back.
Said,
I always throw stuff back up in women's faces because women love to tell you once a cheater, always a cheater. I love it how they can throw that around so easy.
Oh, no.
And so I always tell them, well, once a sinner, always a sinner. Once a whore, always a whore. Once a fuck on the first night person is always a fuck on the first night person. And then they get mad. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. Well, then quit telling
no.
a man that once he cheat, for some reason cheating is something you can't stop doing, but sucking dick on the first night is something you can stop doing.
Yes, that's very true. I never say somebody cannot change a behavior or anything that they've done or said or what have you.
Exactly. I mean, you can change. What it is a person has to want to change it themselves. And that's
correct.
Where the self-assessment comes in. A lot of people don't do a correct self-assessment for this one reason. Because what they're gauging themselves in, they don't want to do. So it's easy to gloss over that thing. The abortion people can talk bad about the people getting an abortion and then bomb the clinic and kill 4 doctors, but not think that that death of a 40-year-old doctor means something, but that death of a negative 6-month-old child means something.
Yeah.
And you're thinking logically, how does that compute in your head that it's okay to kill this grown person, but this child, and man, this child that had never been born, you know, it's wrong to do that. it's wrong to kill so-and-so, but then you go to the execution chamber and watch somebody die. Christians now going to watch somebody be put to death because of what they did to your family member.
That's true.
It's hard to assess a lot of things. And Renee had some things, and then we're going to get to Ron. Renee had some things that she wanted to bring to you guys, some information, which is better than mine, and I don't believe that's possible, but go ahead.
Well, I wanted to share with everyone actually how to put in place what we are talking about as far as giving yourself an honest self-evaluation. So you might need pen and paper, but before I get into the how-tos, I wanted to share some information. I know that, Thomas, you touched on sometimes the difficulty that you face when you are doing this exercise. And some of the information said, for example, few skills are more important to self-improvement than being able to take a step back and honestly evaluate yourself. Self-reflection allows you to expose problems early before they become too painful to ignore. People tend to be self-serving in their thoughts. For most people, self-reflection involves looking into a carnival mirror with all the information warped and distorted until it barely resembles reality. Honesty, I know that sometimes we talk about honesty on the show and who's, who has trouble with that and who doesn't. But honesty, especially, I didn't know
I ain't got trouble with it. I don't do it.
Yeah,
why
well,
were you
we
laughing, Renee?
Yeah, I ain't got trouble with it at all. I choose not to do it. That's some shit I think will get you in trouble.
Well, hey, honesty, especially when it is negative, is uncomfortable. Few people are willing to spend mm-hmm. the effort needed to strip away all the distortions and arrive at the truth. I'm going to share with you a few steps, and then I'll have some more tidbits to share with you later on. But basically, what you have to do is first, discover what you're willing to examine and what you're not. The things that you're not willing to examine, put down a date that you are willing to examine them, because those are the things more than likely that need to be examined the most. But the first step is to be concrete. Get down to specifics. Instead of writing, for example, I'm unhappy, you could write, I feel isolated and have few people I can call on during times of crisis. Now, that's very concrete and descriptive. Second, be courageous. You may be looking at parts of yourself that you'd rather not face. If you start to feel uncomfortable, like Thomas talked about, that's probably a clue that the exercise is working. If this happens to you, acknowledge the discomfort fully. Then return to telling the truth. Remember that.
I did not know comfort. Comfort was two different words.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did not know you could break that word down like that. No,
Whatever. Hey, remember that it's difficult, if not impossible, to change those aspects of our lives that hide in the shadows. When we shine a light on our shortcomings, we begin to rob them of their power. That's what a lot of us do. We hold back because we're giving all of our shortcomings and all of these illusions power, and that's not really who you are. Third,
well, that's a great point because, well, I just want to jump in and say this. That's a great point because the biggest part about lying, and you're getting this straight from a liar's mouth, they called me Mufasa when I was growing up.
Oh.
Because the Lion King, the biggest part about lying is this. You got to keep up that lie, and it's apparently something you don't like about yourself.
Right.
Because that's why you're lying about it. You don't like it.
Right.
So when you lie about it, you never get to come clean about it. And that's what a good thing about having, like, when you get to have an intervention. I don't know if you guys have ever witnessed an intervention. Hell, even if the person don't stop smoking crack, you feel good about yourself because you got to tell them that you don't like their ass when they on crack.
Yeah. Because you're not holding it in.
Yeah.
You're not pretending anymore.
Mm-hmm, but go ahead.
Third, be complete. Many people think that telling the truth is a strategy that applies only to our weaknesses. In reality, this strategy is even more powerful when we admit our strengths and skills as well. And there are four quick parts that that will help you do an honest self-evaluation. The first part is to set aside 10 minutes to complete each of the following sentences. Basically, the first one is, one of my strengths is that, and then you fill out whatever they are. Give 10 responses. The second one is, things don't work well when. Give some responses. You're shooting for 10. Now, step three is, after you finish those first two, take another step to solidify your insights. Review the two lists that you just created, cross off any ideas that don't make sense, add some that do, and put an asterisk next to statements that really ring true. Step four is the biggest part that I encourage everyone to get to. First, review your list of strengths regularly, especially when you feel discouraged or just plain stuck. You might want to post this list in a prominent space where you will be alone and see it often. I think that's one of the keys to helping people overcome whatever it is that you do need to work on, because a lot of times you do get discouraged. You have this new eating plan, and you feel like, oh, my God, I ate a piece of cake. I'm just a failure, or whatever the case is. The scale went up instead of going down. whatever the case is, you know, a lot of times we are our own worst critic, but we don't have to sentence ourselves to failure, you know. We can succeed. So I will, after you go to Ron or somewhere later on before we wrap it up, I'll share with you some more information about being honest with yourself.
All right, Ron. We brought you back for the after show, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to us so far rattle and go on. But we try to give a little good information, and if nothing else, we try to be as honest with each other as possible. And this is one of the times in which you have to be most honest when you're talking about yourself. Janet Jackson had a song when she was talking about, you know, you can't lie to the person in the mirror, although every day she tries to lie to that person. Uh-oh. But anyway, the best information is usually given by people who don't even follow the information. I remember growing up watching the old man on the corner talk about some, boy, you don't want to get on this alcohol. It's bad for you. His ass fucked up.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, wait a minute. If you're telling me not to do it, why the hell are you doing it? I know from experience, nigga. I know from experience. So, Ron, what has been something that literally you know from experience that you've had a hard time just getting rid of it? But your self-assessment lets you know this is a problem. I don't care that I'm doing it. It's a damn problem.
Wow. You know what? I mean.
That put you on the spot, didn't
I? I had past experiences, even when I was like, even when I was 16. And I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, being too trustworthy. Because you know what? I'm going to just tell you a short story. Because my oldest brother, he's very smart and very very intelligent. And what happened was when I was 17, and he was in real estate, he did two real estate deals at the same time. And what happened was he had to use He had paid a business account in my name. And what he did was he had to use a seller who was selling the house, put the seller on my account, Wachovia account.
Mm-hmm.
And he withdrew all the money. I mean, what happened was it was like 30-ish grand that was deposited into the account. And what happened was he had put the seller on the account, and the seller got his share. It was like 18 grand or something like that, and left my brother with like 13 something. But what happened was I was telling my brother, I was like, look, we don't know this guy from Adam. You know, we need to check this guy out the account now. And he was like, you know, because my brother has a hard time listening. And so, you know, I'm very young, you know. So what happened was, short story, but the guy ended up taking $5,000 from the account. And it was like the last of the money. But the thing I'm trying to get at is, you know where I could have been at? Because I'm very smart too. But you know where I could have been at if I would have listened to I would say, a shaky voice inside of me. Mm-hmm. Because by me being too honest, too trustworthy, and I'm saying, okay, the rest of money was like $12,000, right? Mm-hmm. And my brother, he doesn't manage his money well. I don't want to put his business out there, but he's on drugs, all right? So one time he asked me to withdraw $5,000 from the account. I gave all that money to him. And now just keep in mind that I could have got any amount of money out of the account myself.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been balling out of control. Not like that, but, you know, I could have had access. I could have withdrew thousands at a time. I could have had that. I could have bought a car. I could have did a lot of things. But I withdrew $5,000, gave it to him. We drew all the money and gave it to him. I didn't get not one penny out of it, but $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by being too trustworthy, you know? And sometimes, right, I don't
okay,
know, I have to make a voice to myself, man. But,
I've heard women say that too. Like women will say in the song, what was that song? I wish I had cheated on you or something. The woman was talking about she, you know, that's what you think. Does it sound like what you having, like buyer's remorse? Like you like, shit, I wish I had a stole it.
Yeah, telling you, man.
And we've all felt like that though. That is a very honest thing to say, that you're coming back and saying, you know what, maybe I'm too, I guess I'll say the way you said it, I'm too trustworthy. I'm listening to, I'm doing the right thing while everyone around me is doing the wrong thing.
Man, I'm telling you, and I could have used that money and put it into something very, very lucrative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, you know, blowing the money away like it was just nothing. You know, it would just, you know, spend $5,000 in 2 days and just come back with nothing. Nothing to show for it.
Hey, let me ask you, where are you from?
I was born in Indianapolis, but, you know, when I was like 6 years old, I moved down here in Atlanta. I was like around 95, and I've been down here ever since.
Oh, okay, because you remind me
of Renee.
I might as well
say I'm from Atlanta, man.
You remind me of Renee. That's all I was saying. You remind me of Renee. Renee,
man.
When I talk to you, you know, when I'll ask Renee one thing, and she will start off somewhere else before she get to the thing I asked. It's funny though, because it's like y'all feel like y'all need to preface
me.
What you're about to say. It's like you're like,
well,
what you want to eat? Well, you know, typically I would
We are just detailed people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's a good thing, especially when you're having people like you handle some of your business. You want a person that's detailed. You don't want a person like me handling your damn business. You don't want a straight answer kind of person. You don't want me to tell me something, because I've even got you arrested with the IRS. He done fucked up your tax.
Have you done a self-assessment of yourself recently? Because you always so negative on yourself. You a liar, you a cheater. You're not good with money.
I'm gonna give you guys my self assessment. But right now I'm gonna turn it over to Miss Julia, because Julia wanted to tell me something. I think she wanted to cuss me out. Go ahead, Julia. Julia, she always is muted or always, and it must be hard to unmute your phone.
Well, if she's in the middle of something, you just got to give them a moment, because they're not thinking that they're going to be called upon at that moment. So.
I told her she was about to get called upon.
I'm here. Oh.
Yeah, I hear you. I thought I said, Julia, I'm about to call on you. She said, all right. And probably went to the bathroom and shit.
Well, there you go.
I really did go to the bathroom. Excuse me.
I told you. I know Julia. Julia will shit on you in a minute. Julia will be in a minute.
Okay.
Julia will be in the middle of a spades game. I'll be right back.
Mm-mm.
Oh shit!
Quite right. Wow!
And come back with a strategy to help you win. All right, let's play. We're gonna go 8 books this time. We're going 8. Your nasty ass! I didn't hear no water in there running.
You are supposed to.
I'm All right. Get, throw a hot pocket at him. Throw a hot pocket at him. Throw one of them dinosaurs right at him.
I'm
come
so
on,
sorry.
Say hold on, Pimpin. Say Pimpin, hold on, Pimpin.
No, I want it. I love the topic tonight because I do that all the time. People say they do it every 5 years. Hell, I do it every year, shit, every week, every month. I keep doing it because I strive to look at myself realistically. I really do. And I'm open for constructive criticism from any and everybody. I don't go around thinking that, hey, I've got it all together. No, I want to be better in everything that I do. But I like how Renee, I look at a self-assessment very similar to how Renee was speaking about looking at your strengths. I don't necessarily look at the negatives. I already know what they are. And in life, I mean, no matter what we do, where we go, who we meet, how long we stay on this earth, we're going to always have some positives and some negatives. But, of course, I believe that the pros should outweigh the cons, but I like to look at my strengths and focus on those and build from them. Like, I don't look at the fact that, okay, I'm 4'11", I'm short, I can't reach the juice at the store. No, I don't look at it like that. I look at it.
I'm laughing only because I'm over 6 feet, so I always have that one person. Excuse me.
Yeah.
A little short woman asking you to get something. That's hilarious.
Yes.
And
she's coming down waiting for me to come.
Yeah, so I don't focus on the fact that I'm short. I've been hearing it all my life. I know it. I focus on the strengths of being short. I'm saying to myself, well, hey, you're short
you
and you're
head,
little.
Yeah,
you look,
give head standing up.
You're so silly. I look young. I look young for my age because of my height. That's a plus. I try to look at the pluses of everything. Like, okay, so what? I'm not married yet, but I'm happy
that
with my
you
own.
Get a lot of dick.
I'm happy with my own company.
I'm giving you some pluses, girl. You better listen. I know
happy.
The plus of not being married. Can't nobody tell you you commit adultery.
I'm happy with my own company.
Married, man.
Yeah, so
Julia,
I don't think
you're good. You're good. Those are important things that people need to remember.
But see,
yeah,
I'm gonna disagree because that's just my role in the show. So I'm going to disagree, but the fact that, again, if you listen to people talk about themselves in public, which is what we're doing right now,
mm-hmm.
It's very hard for them to humble or let down their guard and say what they honestly feel about themselves. So most of the time, everybody that talks is going to say we in the background. Most of the time, when people talk about themselves or whatever, you know, I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to mute you, darling. But most of the time, when people talk about themselves, what they have is a situation to where it's easy for them in public to accentuate their own pluses, and especially us as black people. And I'm gonna just say it, and I know people gonna get mad. Black women. Black women, you guys talk about yourself so damn good. Y'all don't need anybody. I've never seen a black woman that's by herself that is, other than like how AJ said it, and then she still kind of corrected. She was like, well, you know, that was when I was younger when I felt that way, but I'm pretty much not like that now. So she's
well,
back
I'm
to, gonna I'm
going
to
tell you
good,
why,
yeah.
Why I said what I said, though.
No, I
so
know why you said it. I was just saying the difference is, you ever said something and somebody take what you said and run a little bit farther than where you wanted it to go?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you were trying to say, you know, that
just stop at
you know,
the
they give you,
corner.
Yeah, they like, you know, they give you a leeway.
Expressway.
Yeah, they trying to. You tell them, you know, they give you a little bit of a leeway at 55. They let you go up to about 60 without giving you a ticket. And then somebody else went and told somebody else that it's the law. The law said they can't give you no ticket. You're like, I didn't say that.
you just
took what I said and ran with that shit. And sometimes what people will do is they will take that part of what you are saying. You're right. You can't constantly beat yourself down. You can't constantly think that you are a failure, and especially if thinking you're a failure is based upon how someone else is living their life or based upon what someone else thinks is right. If that is how you're living your life, then you might have a little bit of a problem. The girl just got hit by the bus on Mean Girls.
But what I was, I mean, to further it, though, because I get what you're saying, and certainly that's true, but I think that what people have to also do, especially my black sisters, we have to look at the lesson in any and everything. I also, similar to AJ, and I've shared this before, I had everything mapped out as far as when I was getting married, when I was going to start having children and all that great stuff. Well, my plans were not the plans, evidently, for the way things were going to be. And I'm okay with that. It doesn't mean that I don't still have those same goals. But when I look at my life, honestly, as I am today, I don't think that if I had those goals take root when I thought that they were going to be, I probably would not be the wife that I would have been at 20-something. I wouldn't have been the mom. So I look at the things that I've learned along the way, and that's what people have to do. They have to not only just find the good, because you're going to find the good, and I'm not going to say that there's roses everywhere, because roses, even though they're pretty, they still have thorns. But you have to also figure out, okay, how can I make this work? How can I grow? Because if people don't want to grow in life, there's a problem. We can't always.
Well, that's what a lot of us. Well, hold
that.
On. That's the problem. A lot of us not only don't want to grow, but a lot of us will see that we were on the 10th rung of the ladder. Now we're at the 4th rung of the ladder, and we will literally make the fact that being on the 10th rung of the ladder was somehow bad, and we're glad to be on the 4th rung of the ladder. And even if we fall down to the 2nd, it's still not that bad, because that's what God wanted me to be.
Yeah. Well, that's the carnival mirror, though, that I read about. And then also, to take that a step further, being on the 4th rung or the 2nd rung, how dare you have your friends surpass you and not feel good about your friends doing that. That's another unfortunate thing that we have in our community. We have to learn how to help one another and not just say, oh, because you're 500 pounds, you're cute. I love you in spite of you being 500 pounds, but I want to see you live longer. So we have to stop coddling one another, too. And we
again,
don't
that's
do
more,
that.
But again, that's more men than women. Men will say dumb, women will say dumb shit. A man will never tell you, you should love me regardless of the fact that I'm 500 pounds and I used to be 120. A man will never tell you that. Women will literally sit up there and tell you, you should love me regardless of the shit that I didn't want to control. But I'm not going to love you over the shit that you didn't want to control, i.e., I can't stop cheating. You can't stop eating, I can't stop cheating. I'm wrong for cheating. You all right for eating. I'm supposed to love you through that. I'm shallow. Well, you shallow for getting mad that I sleep with somebody else. I still pay the bills. I still clean up. I still do whatever. I just put my dick in somebody else every now and again.
Oh, wow.
You eat every day. If I cheated as much as you ate, I'd be tired as hell.
Renee, the comment that you made about I forgot the comment you made. Anyways, let me make my point, and you can get the comment that you made, because I totally forgot what it was. But as easy as you are to give somebody when they're, like you said, somebody who's 300 pounds and you're going to tell them that they're cute, as easy or as hard as it may be to do that, I think, especially with the few black women that I deal with, because I do deal with only a few, I only handle a few of them, they are not accepting of what you're telling them when it's a negative.
Right.
They'd rather you tell them, "Ooh, girl, you got some cute shoes," or "Ooh, I like that haircut," just lip gloss, before you tell them, "You've been out of school for 6 years, you keep talking about going back to school, why don't you go back to school and give it as a brochure?" Then they get mad at you. Well, you think you all that just because you're on your second degree, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, you know what, really?
But like Tiffany, though, the thing about it is I think in everything you have to check the motive. And that's why I said as far as the friend, if that's a friend of mine, first of all, I love my friends. I had a boyfriend. Well, when we broke up, subsequently, I found out that he wasn't happy with my weight when we were together. And at first I was like, okay, well, why didn't he say anything? Duh. But then I appreciated the fact that he made the statement because I felt like there had to be a level of care in him making the statement. And even though now I'm still trying to incorporate a lot of the things that I know to do because I have such a friggin' busy lifestyle, I want to incorporate that. It's not that I'm not cognizant of those things, but if you just tell somebody, well, you've been out of school and da-da-da-da-da, there's, to me, no love in that statement. But if you're really caring about your friend, I'm not saying, you know, water things down, certainly, but express that love, and that love, you know, they may reject it initially or whatever, but to me, it'll come out, and that'll make a difference.
But I want to say
it's
this.
Always, it's always how you say stuff. Not
yeah,
you
I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you, and don't take it the wrong way. If someone's telling you something that you think is good for you, you're appreciative of what they told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you're still making statements like, and I would like to incorporate this into my life.
Mm-hmm.
How much did it really change? I'm sure you knew your weight wasn't very healthy when he told you then, and you didn't incorporate it. And after he told you, all you said was, thank you. That's a good thing you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go on back to get this sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because if you haven't done anything, then honestly telling you didn't help. And I remember my grandmama said, sometimes I don't tell niggas shit because niggas ain't going to do shit if you tell them anyway.
And that there's some truth to that. There is truth. But I'm going to tell you in a response to that, I've not been, for example, an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever. I can love food, honestly. I'm being transparent with you. However, an alcoholic cannot combat their alcohol problem by themselves. Some maybe can. I know people.
Alcoholism
who
is a disease.
I understand, but hear what I'm trying to say. There are some people who I know who quit smoking, they just had their last cigarette, and that was it. They move right along. For me, to reach out and say, you know what, this is something that to you it may come easy, but it may not to me. I know, my head knows that I want to do this, but my body or whatever doesn't know how to put it into action. Until I can get to the point of being able to self-sustain, I need help. And when I reached out to that person, I'm not saying that I'm blaming it on that person, but I'm just knowing what I need for myself. I can't do that by myself. There are some things that I can say.
Well, that's an honest evaluation that you're saying you need the help. But also an honest evaluation is from the person is, I ain't trying to help somebody do some shit I don't think should be that hard.
Well,
my life should not be put in position to help you through your shit, honestly. If you look at it. No.
I'm
saying I think a lot of people think that you should, especially black women. That's why they'll tell you, you should love me through the weight gain. No matter how big I get, you love me. Well, I love the fact that I could take you in public and you didn't have to put on a muumuu. I love the fact that you could ride me. Now you can't. That I used to watch the sex and they would go, I could look at it going in and out. Now I just got to guess at it.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I hope
I've been inside you for 10 minutes, I thought, and I was in one of them fat rolls.
Oh, God.
But that's what it will get to.
Get it. You should be able to get it. Because as hard as it was for me to swallow the pill of asking my husband, okay, I know I just lost 10 pounds, but what else do you feel that I need to work on? I've asked him that multiple times. And to swallow the pill that he gives back, there has to be something that you're ready and willing to take. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to take that. They just want to hear blah, 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 blah. and I'm not a person to even give you no blah, 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 blah. If I'm telling you something, I look for it to be an action, or you know what, next time, don't bring up the conversation of how I'm going to feel about it.
And that depends, of course, on who you're dealing with, certainly. There are some things that, for this individual, I was like, you know what, I don't have a problem if you treat me boot camp style and you're like, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to necessarily take that from the next person, but for this person, I'm willing to say, you know what, suck up the pride and all of that, because this person is helping me until I get to the point. Like I said, I'm not asking you to do it forever, because there's going to be a point that I am going to finally friggin' enjoy this.
You know what you reminded me of?
What?
I was watching an episode of Cheaters today.
Oh, Lord.
And in Cheaters, there was a woman who got caught cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got caught cheating, let me tell you what she told the man. You should know better than leave me home alone. I'm an alcoholic, and you never leave an alcoholic and drug addict alone. They'll do whatever they need to do, and you knew it. It's like she was blaming him. He's like, I go to work every damn day. I'm the only one that works. Why are you now telling me that because you were sleeping with this man, it's my fault because you're an alcoholic and you can't be trusted by yourself? I think after, honestly, as a man or a person, you think, I got problems of my own that I have to deal with every fucking day, and I manage them in a 24-hour span. You telling me I got to help you with your damn problem that you can't manage in a 24-hour span? A problem that's a problem of greed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a simple problem of greed.
Yeah,
it's a simple problem of greed. And every day I wake up, I got to deal with different shit. My daughter, I don't have no money, this, that, and the other. And I got to help you get over something that I got to look at that's making me feel less than a man. You used to be 130, now you 160, now you 180. And I got to roll over and look at that knowing that I go to work every day and I'm tired of working at that damn job because they don't appreciate me. No, matter of fact, you are a burden on me.
Wow.
And I know a lot of times what happened with people financially, when they realize, damn it, it's hard enough for me to pay my own bills, and I need to help you with yours, and they get mad at you because they think, I've been able to figure out how to get some money. You haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my self-assessment. I look at it all the time and say, hey, I know I asked this person for two things. I can't ask them for this third thing. They getting tired. They'll tell you all the time, oh, no, you could have asked me. I'm like, I'm not going to keep asking you for shit because you're going to get tired of me.
Mm-hmm.
My self-assessment is where I am right now financially. I'm in a horrible place. Emotionally, pretty bad place too, because I look at a lot of stuff and say, because of the financial things and because of certain things I knew that I should have by now and I don't, emotionally I don't feel too good about a lot of stuff. And then when you don't feel good emotionally, the bad part about it is you seek other shit. Now, some people seek food, and they end up getting fat, and you can see it in them because they fatten the song. And you're like, why? Well, everything else is falling apart, and emotionally they're not healthy. Some people turn to ass. Ding, ding, that's me. I don't know why. Ass make me feel better about not having no money. Then after I get some ass, I feel worse. Kind of like a drug addict, he feels worse after he took a hit, and then he say, I'll never do this again. And then after a couple of weeks, he know that was the only joy he got was in that high place he was when he was smoking. Well, in sex, you do get to feel this joy and accomplishments in the middle of it. Then it falls away when you get done because you go right back to the life that you were leading. Self-assessment for me is basically this, and I thank you guys, number one, for joining us. And make sure you join us on Monday where we're going to be talking about real versus religion versus reality. Can the two exist? But in closing, the biggest thing for me and biggest thing for you guys is this. A self-assessment is going to hurt because a self-assessment is going to call out a lot of the things that you do that you know you shouldn't be doing, the ways that you feel. And most of the times it's in the emotional part. Emotionally, we all are kind of weak in certain situations. So make sure you handle yourself correctly when you're given a self-assessment emotionally, because that's going to be the first part that breaks. And like Renee said, you don't want to break that and your spirit. Thank you guys for joining us. Great show. Can't wait to see you guys and hear from you guys on Monday. Good night, everybody.
Damn, I didn't get my chance to talk, Tommy.
My bad, bro. You got to come back on Monday. It's about to cut off, man.
I'm going to come in on Monday, man. I tell you, Monday I got a chance to call me Paper Brown.
What's up, Tom?
What's up, man?
Call on Monday, man. They're about to cut off, dog.
I'll be there Monday.
All right.
All right, later, bro.